Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
I'm all excited about the new Jesuit Pope.
Oh, yeah? Is that exciting to you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I went to Costco today, and there was a crowd of people huddled around the TVs watching whoever this new person is being enshrined in the little Pope garment, whatever they do. And I just thought, my God, why is that so important?
Well, it's so exciting. We've got the new Pope. He's Bergoglio of Argentina, a Jesuit. Imagine that.
Shocking.
It's shocking.
I put
the post up that they had them all locked in their little quarters, their rooms, not to let them out. Should have done the world a favor and kept them all locked in there.
Right. That would have been.
Yeah, he's the first non-European leader of the church in more than 1,200 years.
Oh, goody.
Isn't that good? We got a Jesuit.
But I bet he's a direct descendant of the disciples, right?
He's a Jorge Mario Bergoglio. He shoots, he scores. It's a goal!
You know you're sick, right?
I'm sick.
So, kind of.
they were all crying in Latin. We have a Pope. Viva il Papa. Habemus Papam. Habemus Papam. That's Latin for we have a Pope. Yeah,
oh, God.
We got the new Pope.
Yay,
isn't
we can make a Pope dance.
Yay, we got a new head of the pedophile ring.
Yep, what can we expect from them in the future, the new Pope, and what do you think? Hell, brimstone.
Oh.
Cats and dogs raining.
Oh, it's gonna be the same shit, different mouthpiece.
You know, you're suffering from cognitive dumbassedness. we have some exciting guests today, and one of them, Hugh West. I love that guy. He is just absolutely brilliant and pretty famous for being a whistleblower, which we need more of. And, you know, he's got his own story to tell, but fascinating guy, and I can't wait to hear from him again. So, Stu, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Lisa. I think we have Mike Harris on here today with us, don't we?
Yes, we do, and that's the other special guest that we have is Mike Harris. And, Mike, I'm excited to learn to host a radio show and of your own, and I've been involved in politics, so I'd like to learn more about you and what you do. So welcome to the show, Mike.
Well, Lisa, thanks for the invite here. And what do I do? I tell you what I have done. You know, in my past life, you know, I'm one of the victims of you know, our flawed trade policy with NAFTA and GATT in allowing China into the WTO, where the semiconductor industry, which was created in the U.S., developed in the U.S., perfected in the U.S., now has
Hello?
Lisa? Did we get cut off?
Yeah.
Ourselves?
Yeah, that was
Mike,
funny.
Mike, they cut you out for a moment
there.
What's that, Dusty?
I say there for a minute, nobody could hear you. Now we can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, what I said is what I used to do is I used to be in the semiconductor industry before our flawed trade policies took effect. You know, I don't know if anybody remembers back to the 1992 election cycle when George H.W. Bush was running against Bill William Jefferson Clinton. There was this other guy called Ross Perot who said that if you sign NAFTA and if you sign GATT, the sucking sound you hear is jobs leaving the U.S. Well, jobs didn't leave the U.S. Whole industries left the U.S. And the industry that I was in is in China now. There aren't any U.S. Wafer fabs anymore. Intel might have a couple left, but nobody else builds semiconductors in this country. So guys like me who spent our whole lives acquiring skills, we're perfect. Hello?
Yeah, Mike, you're getting cut out again there for some reason.
Oh, wow, that's weird.
Huh.
Mike,
it looks,
still
it
with
looks
us.
Like he called from a cell phone. I don't know if he didn't call from Skype. You guys didn't call from Skype, Stu?
No, I don't believe so. I think he's calling off his regular phone.
Well, I can call from Skype. If you've got, you know, give me your Skype number. I'll call you right now. That's what I do every day at Skype.
All you do is you just call the regular, the guest call-in number, which is 347-324-3.
Let's do this, Mike. Why don't I give you a call real quick? Lisa, just put us both on hold. Hang up, Mike, and I'll buzz you, and we'll do a three-way here, okay?
Sounds great. All right.
Okay, bye.
All right. Well, that was fun.
Duh. Winning.
Or there's the...
You know, good luck. You're going to need it. I'm going to be over here, like, winning.
It's going to be like that today.
You know, good luck. You're going to need it. I'm going to be over here, like, winning.
Do you think maybe you could use a different one?
Oh, you want a different one?
Yeah. Here's a different winning.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
One especially for the new graduate who's head of the Roman Catholic Church.
Perfect background for that, the Lantra.
Money working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing.
Folks, we keep ourselves amused. thank you, Austin. I want to thank you for the awesome memes you've been posting on my page today.
Oh, yeah. More than welcome.
Yeah. So let me see what's going on with Stu.
We're back.
Stu?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah, they're back.
Okay. So are you guys all calling out from you're doing a three-way?
Yes. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, hopefully we are. I don't know if you can hear me or not, Lisa. I hope so. I'll try again.
Hi there. Yes, we hear you fine.
Oh, okay, great. I'll hit Lisa. This whole thing over?
Huh.
Mike, we got the same problem. I guess you must be moving around or something or in the wrong position someplace.
Yeah, I think you should probably do the Skype thing. Try that.
I'll try to Skype you right
now. Okay.
Call the number on there, Mike. Do the call-in on that number.
Yeah, the 347 number. 347-324-3704, Mike.
So, Stu, what have you been up to besides causing trouble?
Well, I've caused as much as I can and trying to keep the financials reported on, the financial crimes of what the Bushes are up to, of course.
Yeah, what are those scoundrels up to?
Well, they're up to no good as usual. We can't get, Leo Wante seems to not be able to pay his $1.5 trillion in taxes. This has been going on for, 6 months now. They had to go to the Supreme Court last week and get a court order by John Roberts, the head of the Supreme Court, and Chief Justice Roberts, and to pay it on the Treasury Secretary has been ordered to pay into the Treasury Leo Wante's $1.5 trillion in taxes on April the 1st. So we're going to see if they obey the Supreme Court order or whether Obama administration is going to be held in contempt of court. Jack Lew, the new Secretary of Treasury, wants it paid, of course, to solve a lot of our financial problems that we have. And that's going to be paid. And as soon as that happens, of course, Leo will get his money owed him for his 29 years of a U.S. Treasury, CIA operation, breaking the Russian ruble, among other things. And then he's going to start the high-speed rail system, and he's going to take the vets that are homeless off the streets and build shelters for them and buy shelters. And he's going to be doing a lot of stuff with his earned money, should we say, for America. So it's going to start a lot of new jobs in America. A lot of things are going to be happening this year, hopefully. And I'm seeing a lot of change within the administration, surprisingly. I'm seeing maybe Obama getting a little bit of religion where he hasn't in the past so much, been controlled by his handlers, Bush and Clinton. All of a sudden, he's starting to listen to other people. And I'm seeing some stuff. Yes, I don't know. Maybe I keep feeling he's getting religion. But I keep wondering about this trip that he wants to make to Israel to go to go over there and tell Netanyahu how it's going to be. Get out of the West Bank and give the Palestinians their land and all the other stuff. I'm quite concerned. I think we need to send about 100 Marines over with him, all fully locked and loaded with some extra grenades and stuff to get rid of any Israelis that might want to assassinate him on his trip. And
you are being facetious and sarcastic, right?
No, I'm laying out the truth here. I mean, in my opinion, I'm just seeing things that are very strange and happening, and I'm hearing things behind the scenes, and it seems that, his handlers just don't quite handle him as well as they used to, and hopefully that's the case. We'll just see how it changes, but, of course, we have the new Secretary of Defense, Hagel, and Hagel, they had to do a car bomb on him when he was over there going to visit a prison to turn over the prisoners there, the CIA redemption flights, where they're storing the chemicals that are the laundromat chemicals going to John McCain and Lindsey Graham's laundromat there in Afghanistan that uses those particular chemicals to mix up to, get their opium in blocks or whatever they do with it. I see that the Russians busted them, and the opium that was being moved into Russia where my in-laws collect their money through Romney. Always gets the money and delivers it to Millman down at in Cuba, and where Millman's hiding out, gets his bank accounts. But this time around, I guess the Russians busted them. Their opium took in a huge block here yesterday, I understand, or day before. So they're not going to get the delivery of the opium here in the United States and other places around the world. Several billion dollars were confiscated. So maybe a few dents are being put in, should we say, the opium trade. And, of course, I'm under the understanding from many in the intelligence world, I hope Mike's still on with us because he knows a few that I know, are indicating that that war in Afghanistan is going to come to a frigate end. But I find out that they had a car bomb. It was all over the news where he was going to meet the head of the Afghan government that, is going to take over. And of course, they were going to have a public meeting, and that didn't happen. They had a private meeting instead. But there's a lot of things going on, and I'm glad to see it. And so, we got Witch Doctor Hillary out of the scene. We got John Kerry in, even though John Kerry, he's done a lot of stuff covering up BCCI and stuff in the past, and his little stooge he had up there.
Kerry is skull and bone scum.
Yeah, he's Bush's third cousin, and he was Bush's classmate, in case you didn't know. I guess they laid in the same coffin, doing their homosexual activity together, to be skull and bones buddies, So,
yeah, they're real
anyway.
Tight.
Yeah, so, as we say, if you there's an old saying, if you can't convince them to get religion, if you have something that you can hold over their head, sometimes that helps them get religion, you understand?
Right.
So,
absolutely.
Leave it at that.
Well, I think that Mike is calling back in on the phone again, so let me try to pick up. Yeah. Hey, Mike, is that you?
Hey, Lisa, how are you? Hopefully you can hear me better now. I tried to get through on Skype, and Skype wasn't letting me call you. I was hoping for a Skype ID of some sort, but c'est la vie.
Yeah, sorry
you
about that.
Good,
I'm
good.
Not...
Hey, you
well,
know what,
ahead,
that's
Mike.
The worst that happens. I'm having a great day.
Well, Mike, tell everybody about your background and where you're coming from, and you've got your own show on RENS and your website.
I spent most of my adult career in the semiconductor industry, and like many others, I was the victim of NAFTA and GATT and allowing China in WTO. And if people think back to the 1992 election when George H.W. Bush ran against William Jefferson Clinton, there was this other guy named Ross Perot who was running, and he said that if you sign those trade agreements, the giant sucking sound you hear is a jobs leaving the country. Well, it wasn't just policy, it was entire industries. And my industry ended up living in China, and I don't. So that happened around 1997, I guess it was finally signed. And then, there was still some residual business in the U.S. as they were ramping down, setting everything offshore. I was an embedded contractor with Motorola. Did a lot of work with them, and they got out of business entirely after NAFTA and GATT were signed. And so, I finally got irritated enough that I decided to do something political. I served as the finance chairman for the Republican Party during the 94 election, and I decided to run for governor of Arizona in 2006, which I did. And everything between then and now is kind of a blur. My ability, to generate income is a fraction of what it used to be back when the U.S. Still had a productive manufacturing base. So we're dispossessed and disenfranchised with this country right now.
Well, who is it?
Yeah.
It's not the country. It's the government and the puppet masters pulling their strings that I'm disenfranchised with. I love America.
Oh, same here. I love this country. I love the people. I've just been alarmed at the course the trend that this country is following. I mean, one of the reasons I decided to run for governor is I got tired of yelling at my TV set, watching all the news stories on illegal immigrants coming in the country. And now we have 50 million of them living in the States, and Obama's talking, and both sides are talking about this path for citizenship. Well, I don't think that they deserve a path for citizenship. I think they need to be deported back. That's the one thing. One of the things that Reagan did, which was a tremendous blunder, was allowing that amnesty to ever occur, because it set a new precedent. And before that, we had the Eisenhower model, which was based on deportation. Eisenhower deported 1.2 million illegal aliens with only 1,400 Border Patrol agents.
Well, that's part of their grand scheme and plan, is to have everybody here in the country illegally, and everybody on the American dole.
Well, it's true, but we're broke. We can't afford that anymore. But I think you're talking around an issue. And I remember 20 years ago they were talking about this North American Union. Well, I think by having all these illegal immigrants here, they're going to say, hey, well, look, we have a North American Union. Let's just join all these countries, because we're a melting pot. Look, Mexico is here.
Well, I think you're right about that. Yeah. You know, a lot of the problems about the immigration is, you know, if they were legal, I think it's about $3,000 to $4,000 a piece it costs him to become legal. Second, they have to pay income tax this way. I'm in the contracting business, or was until about a year and a half ago when I got injured from three wrecks where they were trying to take me out. But, you know, it's getting pretty rough even in the Midwest up here in Kansas City, because these Mexican contractors are coming in and doing everything for half the price, and they're paying laborers $5 and $6 an hour, and there's four and five of them living in the same apartment, and they're all illegal.
Well, again, this is all part of the grand design. This is all by design. They're doing this crap. They want the North American Union. They want us all to be all linked in one kumbaya brotherhood.
Are any of you aware of the HBO special that's going to be on when your show ends tonight, Lisa, at 8 p.m. Central Time?
No, what is it called?
Well, it's called The American Winter, I believe it was what I heard today off of NBC. And it's a special that three producers put together, and they talked about it for about 5 minutes. And it's on HBO tonight at 8 p.m., I understand, Central Time. Now, what it's basically they are saying is that the middle class in the past 10 years has lost 40% of their net worth. The average income is $33,000 now, with 25% of that making under $22,000, and the middle class is gone and basically in poverty. And that the 1% is in total control of everything, which it basically is. And so they're going to have a special on tonight on how and why and who's being affected, and it's the children. And it's the future children that are living totally in poverty. So anyway,
wow.
It ought to be interesting to watch that this evening for any of you may be listening.
And what's that called?
It's called American Winter on HBO this evening.
Okay.
I have not seen it, so I can't really comment on it, but after hearing the stats that they threw out there, I thought that was interesting. But that would make sense, about a 40% decline in net worth in 10 years.
I'd be happy if Americans woke up to that level. If they just woke up to that going on, just alone by itself is going to madden people and make them want to resist and start to fight, and that's what we need. We need more people who are waking up, you know? It's terrible what's going on. There's such an erosion of our rights here in America, and it's been subtle up until recently. But, boy, I'll tell you, since the Obama administration has been in, they've written more executive orders than all the presidents combined, and that's why I have a hard time with what you were saying earlier, too. I think, he's probably one of the worst control puppets there is. They just signed in legislation that if you homeschool, you're forced to give vaccinations to your children. Your children cannot graduate unless they're vaccinated. And you can't use homeopathic vaccinations. You have to use their vaccinations.
That's interesting.
isn't it?
Mike?
I think it's a tragedy. And I think it's a tragedy that any one human being will try to dictate and dominate over another human being. You know, the question comes down to is, are we sovereign individuals responsible for ourselves to make our own decisions about how we live our life, or are we going to be livestock for the 1%? That's the question. And if you don't want to be livestock, it's time to wake up and start speaking out and doing what things that are in your best interest and in the best interest of your posterity.
You know, I think this situation with Rand Paul was a wake-up call for a lot of the old people to sit around and watch the TVs because they're too old to get on the Internet. Most of them aren't educated on computers, and they're worn out, and I think that was a wake-up call, and I think a lot of the people that have been sitting around instead of going to the Internet and finding the truth and listening to radio shows like this and like Mike's and others, I think that was a wake-up call to see on national TV a senator, Rand Paul, getting up there
really,
talking about drones killing
really
American people.
That kumbaya dog and pony show, come on.
Well, it woke
that's
up a lot of people.
Was.
A lot
that
of people are talking
little...
about it right now, and that's what
yeah,
we need.
Also,
we need more events
different
like
levels
that.
Of being, there's different levels of being awake, and I, you know, there. That sort of stuff, the stuff coming from Rand Paul, maybe is a little lighter than what you're used to, but hell, if it wakes people up, I'm all for it, you know? Anything to get their eyes to start to wake up.
Well, Lisa, let me make a comment here. You know, whenever you start first grade, they don't start you out in calculus. They start you out in, simple arithmetic, 2 + 2 = 4. And a lot of
right.
these people out there are just clueless, and they have to be fed this information slowly because it'll go over their head if you give it to them too fast.
I call it being in diapers and coming to, like myself and Mike, we probably both have PhDs in the Bush Organized Crime Syndicate University, and, people that listen to idiots like, we won't mention, there's no reason, but there's a few idiots that you're aware of and I'm aware of, Lisa, and Austin is, and Mike, and they call themselves talk show hosts. Those people that are still
you
in there listening, they're still in diapers.
They're
still in kindergarten.
So you can name names. Are you talking about our buddy Pete Santilli?
Well, that could be one of them. Another one, I think the veterans today did a nice job on Alex Jones. They called him a complete idiot or not absolutely. Not. He's only a partial idiot. I think those were the titles here yesterday or day before. Veterans today, folks. Judge for yourself.
Right.
But Mike, since you got a PhD in the organized crime syndicate, tell us what the latest is.
Well, that's the thing, and I think that's one of the things we have to wake people up to. And I had a guest on my radio show a couple of weeks ago, and the. If you took the whole two-hour radio show and condensed it down to one statement is you can't build a national economy based on criminality. And that's why these guys are going to fail in the end is because that's all they know how to do is to lie, cheat, and steal. And, lie, cheating, and stealing doesn't put food on the table. It doesn't manufacture products. It doesn't create, wealth of any kind. All it does is it absconds wealth from people who actually earned it. And they've broken this economy. This economy is moribund. I've been telling my friends to get out of the stock market, people who have 401ks, get into a cash position, at least take a 50% cash position, because when the Dow Jones is as high as it is right now, I look at this thing to crash because it cannot sustain itself. And these guys will lose in the end because, you can't build a national economy based on crime. And, if I was president for just one term, one of the first things I would do is I would say anything that's not manufactured in the USA is going to have a 45% tariff on it because that will drive those manufacturing jobs back into this country. We were told a pack of lies about NAFTA and GATT. We were told that all we're going to do is offshore these low-paying, low-wage, low-skill manufacturing jobs. Well, I'm sorry, they gutted the country. And, I don't care whose label is on it. I don't care if it's Apple Computer or General Motors or Hyundai or Toyota or GM.
If it's not manufactured in the USA, it's a 45% tariff just to get it in the country. We are still the biggest consumer market in the world. I guarantee you that would bring those jobs that we need so desperately to get our own people back to work. That would be one of the first things I would do. And I'd take all that money and I would retool the IRS. I would no longer have them.
What?
It would no longer be an income tax. I would find the IRS, all the big Wall Street banks, and find out all the shenanigans they've been doing for all these years, and then employ something called the clawback, where anybody who's been defrauded on, like their home loan, for instance, they could claw back all the money from those who engineered the fraud.
Like Larry Mizell and Leonard Millman and Daddy Bush, for an example.
Oh,
tell them what the numbers are on the mortgages. You're aware of it. And how much in derivatives and how many houses have been taken back, Mike?
Well, there's over 12 million American families have been dispossessed of their homes so far. And I don't have the right number on what the backlog is on that because it's still growing, even this slow. But if you do the math on that, that's 48 million Americans. If you take an average family, four people per home, I'm going to guess around 48 million Americans have been put on the street who now have to go rent or move in with relatives or something. And it's really sickening. It's about a $30 trillion scam on the surface. But if you look at the derivatives that go with this thing, the derivatives exposures to the U.S. taxpayer are 1.4 times 10 to the 12th, or $1,400 trillion. It's enough to buy the planet of Saturn.
And then we got $100 trillion worth of artificial mortgages that were created on houses that didn't exist. And, of course, on houses that did exist where they duplicated and then came back and said that they owned the mortgage and stole the houses. And then we got Bank of America and we have Wells Fargo, and especially Bank of America sitting there with non-performing assets and 8 out of 10 of their assets claiming to be assets, non-performing. They know that they are these fake mortgages, and they're sitting there cooking their books on a daily basis, hoping that they're going to work their way out of this game with future Ponzi schemes.
Well, Stu, the other thing that goes hand in hand with this mortgage fraud thing is this: the MERS, that's the database that they no longer have a recorded title with your county clerk.
Yep.
Where they just have a database. Mm-hmm. And that thing right there.
That was created by Mizell.
That was created by Mizell. You can find the paperwork on it. I did a research on it. And it went back to the early mid-90s. So they were plotting and planning way back to do this.
Wow.
First things I would do is I would do the power of eminent domain. I would take over the Federal Reserve, stop the issuance of currency by the Federal Reserve, and put that function into the Treasury where it belongs, where it's a constitutional function. It's all part of what is for the common good.
And let's go one step further and gold and silver. We don't want this damn paper money.
Well, the thing is, gold and silver are really well and good, but we've got things to collateralize this country with. You look at coast to coast, what we hold in natural gas, what we hold in mineral rights, what we hold in oil, what we hold in future agricultural production. We don't need merely gold and silver. We can use the whole country as collateral. And that would give us more money and more wealth than we would ever need in 100 lifetimes.
And, of course, what you talked about, the clawback, if we went after the assets of those who stole them, all these shopping centers, apartments, the largest landlord of apartments in the U.S., Mizell, Millman, that whole crowd, we started taking all those assets back and starting to sell those off. Everybody got their claim in there. It's ever been ripped off on their 401ks. Anybody clear back to the days of junk bond daisy chain, they got ripped off on being told, oh, go up and buy instead of buying your CD at Lincoln Savings, you get 2% more upstairs, go up and buy a junk bond. They got ripped off on that. There was a lot of money taken out of that. All those people could get their money back with the clawback, what you're talking about, clawback. Wouldn't that be correct, Mike?
That is correct. That is what the clawback was designed for. It is a valid legal term, a valid legal theory and concept. You can look it up in Black's Law Dictionary. and it's for anyone who's ever been defrauded. And the beautiful thing about frauds is there is no statute of limitation on a fraud. So these claims can go back very, very far. And anyone who's alive today who's ever been cheated by these gangsters, can make a claim. And I think it needs to be something. If we had a functional Department of Justice, which we do not, if we had a Department of Justice which is actually out to serve the people, we'd have a lot of people in jail, and we'd have a lot of money back into circulation that these guys have taken and stashed offshore.
Well, the whole problem you have with money is you have to rip that out at the core. You have to take it straight from the gangster banksters. You got to eliminate the Federal Reserve, and you have to eliminate fractional banking because they're just creating money from debt, from slavery, out of thin air.
You're absolutely right because, you know, the whole system of usury, it's designed, by design, what that does is it concentrates more and more wealth in fewer and fewer hands. And if this goes on for a generation or five generations or 10 generations, the next thing you know, you wake up with 10 families that control most of the wealth in the world, and everybody else is out there picking shit with the chickens.
And we have today with the Council of 13. Yeah, we have the Council of 13. The 12 families controlling about 90-95% of the economy of the world. So we have that problem now. Now we have to turn it around. So Mike, what's your suggestions turning around besides what you just said? What's some of the things that people can do?
That people can do? Well, there is something going on right now. I'm gonna give you a little switch here on this because this starts at the most fundamental level. There is a movement out there. It's called amend.org, and it's for amending the Constitution to put a 28th Amendment on there that will not allow corporations. It will reverse the Citizens United decision, which will not allow corporations to be considered as real persons. And money is not speech. It's a very simple, but you can Google this, go to amend.org, and that's something that everyone can get involved with in every jurisdiction across this country, because we need to stop the influence of money in politics. That is the one of the fundamental first steps that I'd recommend.
Because the AIPAC and other organizations, American Israeli Pact, the Mossad.
Well, I think AIPAC should be. I think we should follow JFK's executive order on that and force AIPAC to register as a foreign agent immediately. And then I think we should do a full-fledged investigation in them for their ongoing espionage and political sedition they've been doing against the people of this country.
Talk about that.
I don't know if we change the Constitution. I don't know if it'll do anything. They're not following the Constitution now.
No, you're right about that, but you know what? It would at least give us legal cover to stop money from coming in. See, the whole thing is he who controls the money. Federal Reserve right now, that's the first thing we would have to do is take away from them the ability to issue currency. If we do that, we cut off the spring from which all their benefits flow and put that back into the Treasury, and then we need an honest government. And we have about 10,000 people in our government right now who need to be sentenced to re-education.
Don't worry about it, Mike. Hey, Mike, don't worry about it. The Federal Reserve is going to be crashed by design, and the IMF is going to roll out the electronic currency bank card. So the same stoolies are going to be in control. They're just going to shuffle the deck and pull another card.
Well, we got somebody, Austin, in case you're unaware of it, we have somebody fairly honest, Christine Laguerre at the IMF. She's a pretty honest gal, and she's doing her best to try to help because I'm aware of her, know her. She knows who I am. I can't say much more other than there are things being done right now on a major level with Leo Wanta's money and other things, and she's trying her best to try to stabilize the situation worldwide. She does not like the Illuminati bankers at all.
Well, I look at that. If we go into a IMF world currency, I think we're going from the frying pan into the fire. And even though it's uncomfortable in the frying pan, it'll be worse in the fire.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I've been talking about this for years. What they're doing, it's obvious. You go to the IMF website, they lay it out right there. You go out, go to IMF, their own website, and search the keyword Bancorp. They lay it out with 20 amendments, with 20 different things about this Bancorp.
That was in place, of course, before Christine Laguerre came in place, okay? Since she's been in place, I will say this, that several things have occurred that a lot of people are unaware of, but France loaned the money to Greece and to, through the IMF, to Greece and to Spain, kept them from collapsing. There's other things that have gone on. She is not a fan of Daddy Bush's, and she is not a fan of the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Milmans, the Meisels, the Warburgs, or any of the rest of them, or Kissinger's,
no, come on,
none of them.
Come on, Stu. Come on, Stu. They're doing the curly shuffle with the euro. That's all they're doing. They're taking debt. They're taking money that other European countries don't have, and they're shuffling it to Spain, and they're shuffling it to Italy. That's all they're doing. They're just playing the shell game.
Well, you know, let's cut to the chase here. We know who the guilty parties are. We know it's the Rothschild family. We know it's the Rockefeller family. We know it's the Bushes. Like I said, there's probably 5,000-10,000 people who we know control most of the wealth in this world. All we have to do is eliminate those people, get rid of them like as if they never existed. But nobody's got the guts to pull the trigger. At least nobody I know, and I'm not advocating violence. I'm just saying hypothetically that you know, if those people didn't exist, what would our world look like? How would it change?
Well, it would change immensely for the better. But the problem you have is they're all entrenched for centuries with this power. And all these so-called government officials are all their little henchmen puppets.
Well, yeah, and, to quote Chairman Mao, real power comes from the barrel of a gun, and that's where it comes from. And, you know, how much is enough? How much are people going to take? You know, I mean, you look at what's happening to this country, and, you know, how much more are we going to sit back and accept from this? And I would like to find a peaceful way to do it, but these people aren't going to stop until somebody stops them.
You know, a friend of mine in the CIA told me, he said, the only thing that the Bushes and these people know is brute force. And I'm not advocating violence, and neither is Mike, but brute force is the only thing that they know, period. They use it, and they consistently use it.
Yeah, it's mafia is what it is.
Exactly what it is.
Well, the thing is, let's go back to, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time was Fight Club. And, you know, I don't care how rich they are. I don't care where they live. You know, they go out, somebody cooks them dinner, somebody serves it, somebody cleans up the restroom after them. These people can be gotten to. Somebody just has to have the will to do it. And that's really what's missing in this country is we as the American people have lost our will to stop these criminals among us.
They've sat back and played coward. And they've played coward because everybody sits back and plays coward. And everybody sits back and listens to, oh, the boogeyman. He's going to come and get you. Run and hide in your house.
So,
lock and load your gun and hide in your house.
This correlates to one of my favorite movies, The Matrix and Morpheus. The people are all indoctrinated in the system, and they don't want to change it because they're sucking on the titty. They don't want to wake up. They're happy where they're at.
Many are cowards and sit back and complain. You know, I'm like the guy yippee ki mama effer. You know, Bruce Willis type movies. I mean, I've got
Austin.
An attitude from being in the Marine Corps. It's go play Rambo and kick their ass. Rip their head off, set it down in their lap, face in their shoulders, walk around. We used to have a saying in the Marine Corps, crap down their windpipe. Instead, I say piss down their windpipe why the last 40 to 120 seconds of blood drips out of their head so they know that you did them in.
Well, Austin, going back to the movie The Matrix, Austin, you know, remember how frightening it was for Neo when he woke up. That's how it's going to be for most of Americans when they wake up. It's going to be that frightening. You know, becoming awake is a scary thing because then you realize what you're really facing, and it's frightening.
Oh, I agree with you. I woke up on 9/11. I was shell shocked for 2-3 weeks. I was like looking at the world from a whole different perspective, and I was looking over my shoulder for the boogeyman.
Well, and then, you know, Stu, you look at what we're taught on TV. I mean, you know, TV is the greatest educational device ever conceived of. And they're using it to educate us. And you watch TV shows like, you know, Criminal Minds, or you watch CSI, or you watch any police show, and they, you know, they can't afford to spend the forensic work that they do on every one of these crimes. But they convince all of us that if we do anything wrong, we're always going to be caught.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
They don't call it programming for nothing.
You know, I could never understand why the Occupy movement never went straight to the media, went on the doorsteps of the media, stood on the doorsteps of every TV and radio talk show or talk station in this country with their Occupy signs, letting the media know how they felt. The media is the problem in this country.
They did, Stu. Occupy went to all the media outlets, but until they were thoroughly infiltrated by Code Pink and all these Soros groups, then they let them on.
They're still there. There's plenty of people out here. There's plenty of people in the We Are Change movement. There's plenty of people who go to the Internet all the time on the Facebook and Twitter and all the other social medias, and they're happy to post up their little posters and their little signs and their little statements and their stories that they find out there. But when are people going to get real here?
Stu. Who
yes.
owns 95% of the lamestream media is owned by 6 conglomerates.
Well, of course it is. Isn't it time that we take it back?
Well,
I mean, take Bill O'Reilly. He's one of the biggest CIA stooges ever hit the planet. That guy has done nothing but been a spin doctor. He's a child molester. He was caught in whorehouses in Panama and in Central America both by friends of mine, and the CIA had to drag him out of the whorehouses of 12 and 13-year-olds. He's a pedophile. He's been one of the biggest spin doctors there ever been. I can't understand why this guy doesn't have broken kneecaps walking out of his studio as he puts out disinformation for the Israeli Mossad. If I were in New York,
well,
I might have been already arrested.
That's the
exactly.
Stu that I was waiting for. He came back. He was turning a little kumbaya for me in the very beginning. I was getting worried about you, Stu. Now you're back.
I don't advocate violence. I advocate once somebody gets their kneecaps broken once and he's on crutches and he goes back and lies again, next time you black both eyes. And then does he go back to the studio and repeat it? Maybe he's stupid enough to do it. Then the third time he gets a broken nose. Maybe his ears ripped off. I'm not advocating violence. I'm advocating truth to be told to the American people. I'm advocating change in America. I'm like Mike. There's only 10,000 of these punks. They're all evil. Most of them are Satanists. They worship the devil. They carve up kids. They're pedophiles. They got sex trafficking going on with children and even young women and boys. And we allow this to go on in our country. The question is, when's someone gonna get some guts?
Well, that's right. I mean, honestly, Stu, like I'm out here doing this radio show, knowing that my name's being put on a bunch of lists, and knowing that my life is in danger, and I could end up with attempts on my life and everything else. But you know what?
My home address is right on my internet site. I'm waiting to come to my front door so I can blow their head off and start taking names.
Yeah.
Yep. Ooh, it's
well, you know what?
Today.
I mean, what are we here on this earth for? You know, it, when you learn all this stuff, it gives you a sense of purpose, and it gives you something, you know, to fight for other people. If other people won't be, I've got more balls as a woman than most men out there. You know, just doing what I'm doing.
I agree with that.
You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. People need to, you know, just face reality. It sucks. How many
ex-military do we have in this country, Mike?
How many ex-military? I'm going to say 120 million.
And out of that 120 million, I mean, we got a bunch of old ones out there, but I mean, there anybody probably 65 to and younger, sure in the heck could take over this problem that we have in a heartbeat.
Well, we could, but you know, we're all convinced that we're all good Americans, and that we're lying to ourselves by believing that the social contract is still in place, when the criminal cabal has broken the social contract and is continuing to violate it every day.
What do you suggest we do, Mike?
Yeah, Mike.
What do I think we do? I think everybody needs to grow a pair, and what we need to do is, the first thing people need to do is realize what is the current reality. And that's the biggest thing, because once people recognize what's really going on, then they'll start to take action. And I don't care if the action they take is sitting behind a keyboard telling their friends on Facebook, or if the action is something more radical, like going out and actually, you know, going down to your state capitol, you know, carrying a firearm because they want to confiscate them and saying, hey, look, no, you're not going to get mine. You know, but people have to do something. And, thought does not do anything. Action accomplishes everything. And it's time for people to get off the sofa and start doing stuff. I don't care what you do. Do something. Do anything. Get involved. Become an activist.
Now, Mike, I'm kind of asking some questions here. I got to give you credit because we can. I want to talk about Newtown. You're the one that revealed, first one to come out on press TV, revealed that the Israelis were behind this. Explain it, would you?
Well, I was privileged to information. You'll realize that Newtown, Connecticut is very close to the Groton, Connecticut sub base, where all of our nuclear subs come and go, correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, I because of my connections through Veterans Today, one of our, let's just say a fellow contributor from Veterans Today had access to the satellite photos that the Russians had, and those photos identified three shooters going in, and from the use of fake recognition, those three shooters were identified as Israeli assets, and that was the base.
What was their whole purpose behind it, Mike? Mike, are you still there?
Where does he get the information on the Israeli assets?
Mike, are
again?
You still there? We're having problems hearing you.
Well, we're probably being
now
interfered
we can hear you.
With. Okay, good. We're probably being interfered with. We're about to spill the beans here, but like I said, that information came from a Russian surveillance satellite that's stationed over Groton, Connecticut, because Newtown is within its field of view. And so we know that there were three shooters in there, and they've been identified as Israeli assets.
Now, Veterans Today, you're a columnist for Veterans Today. You're an economic editor.
I'm the finance editor for them, yes.
Your finance editor. Now, you they have done tremendous work on Veterans Today regarding the Newtown. There are several stories that are up there about the shooting and videotape and the whole bit. One of the videotapes, they actually have one of the Israelis speaking in Yiddish, do they not?
Well, they have one that they're speaking in unknown language. I've heard that it's Japanese, the prevailing means of
cutting out again, Mike. There you go.
About what language it is. That I have to, you know, discard it because I can't confirm it.
Well, Newtown. I mean, you're opening a whole can of worms there. I mean, wow, we could go on a lot on that. I'm not even convinced that any of the kids were really killed there.
Well, then again, I don't know what I don't know, but I do know the kid Lanza was killed the night before. His mother was killed the night before, and there are too many unanswered questions. And Newtown was a classic disinfo psyop, to where
there's so many competing theories that nobody knows what nobody knows. But I'm going to stick with my first premise that was done by Israeli death squad operating here with impunity in the U.S., and that's my opinion. So,
and I might add, there is a videotape up there on Veterans Today showing the little blonde-haired girl, blue-eyed. They flashed all over the TVs and said that she was one of the ones shot. Here she is, climbing up on her dad's arm, and he's holding her as Obama, they're in the White House, and they sat the kids right down as he signs his executive order, supposedly going to take away guns or the automatic weapons and other things. And here she is, and none of the media even picked up on it.
You mean the little kid actor?
Yeah, little kid actor, little blonde-haired, blue-eyed, little cutie, 5 years of age or 6 years of age, whatever she was. Here she is with President of the United States, Barack Obama, in the White House, but she's supposedly dead, and with her actor parents, yes.
Yeah,
they
have
that video up on its site.
They like rubbing their stuff in our face, and because they know, when we come out and say, oh, look, it's the same person, then they're all crazy conspiracy theorists, and it's fun for them.
It comes down to, everybody listen, it comes down to, we're going to have to start taking action if we want our country back. It's already been hijacked. It's already been taken over. They've stolen everything. They went from, 1% of the population controlling 20% of the economy in 81. Now they're up to 95 to 97% of the economy. And it's going to get a lot worse. And there's no future for you, Lisa, your children, your grandchildren, or anything. That is not part of their new world order. But I'm a constitutionalist. I know Mike is. I believe you are in Austin. It's time that we're going to have to start stepping up the plate. The Declaration of Independence gives us the right to remove those in public office. Remove them forcibly if we have to and replace them with new guards if they do not follow and uphold and defend the Constitution.
I just want to see an upheaval. Let's just get these crooks out of there. I'm so sick of trying to play by their rules. Okay, so let's go through the court system. Why? So they have their corrupt judges at the top of everything, just basically tossing out everything you do. And you've got to pay all of this money to lawyers that are bought out to the Bar Association, which is British. I mean, the whole thing's corrupt.
Well, Lisa, I radio show almost every day that a complete regime change in this country. And I borrowed that from Daddy Bush when he was talking about Saddam Hussein. We need a regime change in this country. We need to get rid of all the clean government, and we need to have some really harsh penalties for those who have betrayed the American people, and it's time, because they're committing treason on a daily basis, and it's time that enough's enough, and it's time for us to hold our government accountable.
Yep,
and
I agree.
You said it.
I agree.
We need new folks. We need new people, because the ones who got us here are the ones who made this problem. They've been the same people in power now for 30, 40 years. They're not going to fix this. We need somebody else to come in and fix it.
Now, they have no intention of fixing it. Their intention is raping and pillaging our country, our great country, and then taking complete control over it.
They've pillaged their control.
This was designed from the onset of America, from the very beginning of our country. This was all laid out. This is so old. Everything old is new again.
But they never had the control over the economy the way that they have now. In 81, they only controlled 20% of the economy. Now you have 400 men making more money than half the population of the roughly 330 million we have. They're making more money than 150 million people at the lower end of the totem pole per year. 400 men are. And these are the cabal of billionaires. You have the cabal of trillionaires, Daddy Bush, Leonard Milman, Larry Mizell, David Rockefeller, Lawrence or Meyer Rothschild, Grace of Grace and Company. The list goes on. Anwar Ben Sharri of Israel, the Council, basically, Warburg, Pope Benedict was one of them. You have those in the Council of 13, and then underneath them you have the roughly 10,000 to 20,000 in place in the corporate heads, and they've taken over these corporations. And it's all been with stealing from the Treasury, stealing from the American people and their investments, stealing every way that they can conceivably do. Every financial scam since the 1970s, late 70s, have always gone back to Denver, Colorado, Daddy Bush, and Leonard Melman, Larry Mizell, and others. And it's a cabal of them. And besides their narcotics trafficking, and we can get into that, why we got a war in Afghanistan, it's over the fact of narcotics, it's over opium. Who's benefiting from that? If you look, you know, the two on the Armed Services Committee, Lindsey Graham and John McCain are two of them. Lieberman was one of them that's getting his cut. Romney's delivering bank accounts of the opium money to Leonard Melman. And there's a picture of the veterans today I have up on my website of Romney getting off an airplane in Cuba with his mistress delivering bank accounts to Leonard Melman from the opium fields, et cetera. I mean, if you go back, it's the same people. It's the same game all the time. Now, it's whether the American people, I think there's enough out here awake. I think that we have, they're saying that three-quarters of the American people, that 75% are fed up with government, fed up with this corruption. Recent polls and things are starting to begin to show that. I know that during the Oklahoma City bombing, the 60% of the American people polled were told, they said that they did not believe their government, did not trust their government. I think it's time that people say enough's enough. Enough is enough.
I totally agree. Hey guys, we gotta go to commercial break and pay our sponsor or let our sponsors get paid for helping us out here on freedomizerradio.com. So hold tight for about 5 minutes, okay?
Hey, well, Lisa, I have to drop off now. I want to say thank you very much. I told Stu I could do an hour, but I have other commitments, so I won't be back. But thank you very much for having me on. And Stu, please give Lisa my contact information, would you please?
I will, Mike. Hey, thanks for coming
thank
on.
Thank you so
Mike.
Much. And Austin, nice meeting you. Lisa, nice meeting you. I hope to talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye.
Bye. All right, guys, so a quick commercial break. See you in about 5 minutes.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy. But it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available, committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, So go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
Get ready for the epic movie documentary adventure ride of your life. Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Bella's infamous film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We never let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheTheMotionPicture.com.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called SolarBay. And SolarBay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer, for as long as they have SolarBay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has SolarBay. You sign up enough people, and SolarBay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to SolarBay.com/freedomizer. That's SolarBay, SolarBei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, SolarBay.com/freedomizer.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Hey guys, we're back.
Hey Stu.
Yes, I'm here.
All right,
are you there?
Cool.
Okay.
I wasn't too mean to you guys earlier, was I?
Oh, no, not at all. Mike could only stay with us about an hour and a half. He said that up front. He had something else he had to do. But I want to bring him on for many reasons.
I didn't want to come off like I was a cognitive dumb accident or anything like that.
No, not at all. Not at all. And it had nothing to do with that. Mike, I wanted to bring him on because he's a former governor candidate. And I think that at some point you're probably going to see him as a presidential candidate. I'll leave it as that. How's that?
That's good.
That's good. I mean, we got to wake up the sleeping sheeple.
We got to wake them up, and I think that he's got a point on this. I've talked to him about it and a couple other people about this amendment.org, the 20th Amendment. I think it might be a solution to some of the problems that we've got that people maybe could muster around, and everybody should be taking a look at that very seriously. I myself as well.
I don't think we need another amendment to the Constitution. I think we need to just go back to the Constitution.
Well, yes, but this could maybe give the power that everybody's talking about to be able to do that. So, anyway, analyze it, get an opinion and render your opinion after you read and see what they've got going.
That's fair enough.
I'll look
it over. Absolutely. All right, cool. Well, we've got a couple people that are calling in on hold. We've got a person from area code 239. I thought I'd go ahead and bring them in. They've been on hold for like 36 minutes. 239, you're on.
Just Liberty, Lisa.
Yes.
Hi, Lisa. It's Larry from Operation Storm Cell.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to get on here while you was talking to Stu for a minute, and I want to make Stu aware of my operation and what's going on in Northwest Ohio, and tell him a little bit about the murders and stuff like that that are going on over my uncovering of the Illuminati and organized crime in Northwest Ohio.
You mean some of them are dying?
Oh, they're murdering my family and my friends, bro.
Oh, I see. Okay, I understand. I thought maybe we're talking about some mafia dying. I was going to say, oh, thank God, some of the New World Order bites dust.
Well, that's
right, exactly.
I suppose it'll happen sooner or later. Austin, I wanted to let you and Lisa also know that I did a live show on the Voice of Humanity. I promised Kevin from the Voice of Humanity that I'd do my first show with him because he's been helping me promote the show, promote the operation.
Cool.
And so there's, if you go to Operation Storm Cell and just look, you'll see it says live show. I did it on the 9th of this month. And I'm open for dates if you guys want to talk to me. If you listen to the show, you can hear I drop names and everything, bro. I'm all done playing around with these people.
Well, what's the scoop with you? Is it Mike? I didn't get your first name.
My name's Larry.
Is Larry.
Larry, what's the deal with your family? You're saying the mob's wiping your family?
Some of my family and my friends are being murdered, and some of the other side of my family are involved in it, yes.
Is this a crime syndicate in Ohio you're talking about?
Yeah, in the northwest corner of Ohio, and I created an awareness campaign. I've been working to expose organized crime in northwest Ohio for about 15 years.
Well, you're probably familiar with that Carl Linder group over there?
No, I'm not.
Well, that's tied to Larry Mizell and Melman out of Denver. They're part of the Iran-Contra money laundering. They're very strong in Ohio, very strong. You might look
Ohio's
Carl
very strong.
Carl Linder out of Cincinnati.
A lot of people don't know. The Illuminati are basically just hiding in the foundations. You know, today we have foundations for everything. You can go to the hospital foundation, like where we live is the Henry County Hospital Foundation, and each of these foundations are tied together. And the board of directors of those are the elite people from the communities where we live, and those elitists are the ones who are basically, that's your Illuminati.
Well, yes, your hierarchy, they're in the lower end. If you take the back of a dollar bill and look at the pyramid, the all-seeing eye is Lucifer, and the first level is the Council of 13, the main bankers underneath them are the 100 bankers, and then it breaks down from there. And, I mean, it's just like over here in Kansas City, we have federal judges appointed by Junior, George W., appointed by Daddy Bush, and appointed by Clintons, who control everything going on in Kansas City and Western District of Missouri, as well as Kansas City, Kansas. And we have a federal judge right here, and I don't want to even mention the names, was involved in killing the governor of Missouri in 2000, a plane crash. And yet the FBI is aware of it, and they don't know anything about it. And he sits on the board of directors of a hospital here, as though he's some kind of great person.
And that's where it's all, you know, the lower stuff, a lot of the lower secret societies have been infiltrated, like bike groups and stuff like that are now involved with, like, the Knights Templar and the Freemasons. A lot of bike clubs and stuff have infiltrated those organizations, and that's where they get a lot of their hit work done from.
Well, of course I do, and you're talking about realities here. I'll tell you something that veterans today, because so much is being released right now on their website, and people in the intelligence community, because there's a lot of people that work for veterans today, that the columnists and so forth that have DOD defense contracts, some of them are spooks, et cetera, that are writing for them. You might take a look and see their latest one. It's called The 911 Illusion Part 3, Secret Societies and Masterminds. It's an excellent piece that was put up the day before yesterday. It's
absolutely
on my website in the right column. It talks about their involvement, 9-1, and it talks about the families that are really involved, some of the ones at the top. It didn't touch them all, but it did touch a lot of things. And it mentions Knights Templars. It mentions the different secret societies, including the Freemasons.
I like the fact that the information that you had that you're putting out about drones and everything that's going on with the drones, and I like the fact that you know that in our Constitution that it says that we have to go in there. We have to go in there, and if we have to go in by force, we have to kick these people out. Basically, what we got since the District of Columbia Organic Act of 1871, when we started borrowing money from European royalty. Since that act was put in place, we've basically been run by a fascist regime. It's corporate governance, and it's a plutocracy or an oligarchy, and it's got to stop.
remember, they didn't have the control they have now, and it's ever since Daddy Bush took office as Vice President of the United States in 1981, and he ran the secret government, the shadow government behind the government of Ronald Reagan. And Reagan thought he was in control, and some call him the lame duck sitting president, when in fact it was Daddy Bush running the show. And that's where, with the overthrow, really, the final blow that we're all suffering today, everybody is suffering as a result. And there's been events to take away the rights, like Oklahoma City bombing, to allow the CIA, the purpose of that was to allow the CIA, one, to get rid of all the records pertaining to Mena, Arkansas, drugs, guns, the liability layover between the Republicans and the Democrats, Bushes, Clintons, everybody, and to get rid of those records, the HUD theft records, savings and loan records, and other records. And it was to get control by allowing the Central Intelligence Agency for the first time to operate underneath that terrorist act, to operate inside the United States with full immunity, where they can have the overflights into military bases without the customs and without other agencies being able to check their cargo so they can bring in the drugs, Daddy Bush's little private drug operation, the mafia. And that was the first step, and of course 9-1-1 was the Patriot Act, and now it's led to the drones and the other things, and we're going to have to put a stop to a bottom frigate line. The American people are going to have to rise up, and I'll tell you this, I'm aware of things, okay? And I say this from the military side, you know, I had a Blackwater helicopter in January of 2010 that was shooting me with lasers, four Israelis aboard, it was shot down out of the air by a military jet. Over Nebraska, where I was at. There's two letters up there. One's to Ron Paul shortly after the incident. The other one was to Jan Sierkowski, who was on that committee of Whitewater, their illegal activity in the United States. People inside the military are close to me, and I've been close to them for about 6 or 7 years. And they should we say, did me a favor on that day. I'm not proud of four people being killed, but I'm proud of the fact that they stepped at the plate with me. I'm aware that the military in this country is fed up to their eyeballs with what is going on. They have never, ever did a coup d'etat in this country. They have never arrested the President of the United States or members of the Congress. But if the American people rose, you're not going to see the military turning on the American people. You're going to see the military standing up to the plate and doing something about it because they're more aware than what anybody believes.
Actually, I've heard that from several sources, Stu. I've heard that from actually even people in the sovereign movement, people who are involved in the Republic for the United States of America and things like that. They said the same exact thing. Exactly.
And there we have enough ex-military in this country. I'm getting a little bit old. You know, I'm getting up 58 years of age. I can't. Kung Fu Stu can't move as quite as fast as he used to with her, you know, broken neck and things like this. But I guarantee you, I can still kick ass. Someone else can take the names. Okay.
Hey guys, I'm gonna bring in 586. She's gonna be a guest on a show tomorrow night here on Freedomizer, and she wants to weigh in on the discussion and maybe discuss Agenda 21, which this really all ties into.
Absolutely.
Hey, 586.
Hi,
Valerie,
I'm calling.
Sorry about what's happened to your family and friends over there. The way to do is identify the enemy, and you know, once you identify the enemy, I can't tell you what to do. But I've learned
Stu,
that
I'm
you know.
Stu, I'm an injured vet.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh. I got you.
Okay. Yeah. I was bringing you in. I wanted you to weigh in. You were going to be discussing a little bit about Agenda 21, which all this comes full circle to, really.
But your caller ahead, the guy from Ohio, was named Larry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He hit a nail on the head. We've been doing research on Agenda 21 for years, and people have to get off their couches and do something about it, or we were all gone. Now, these smart meters that are coming in on our houses that are taking control of our electric, gas, and water is all Agenda 21, because Agenda 21 is the environment, energy, and our education. And all three areas are being affected by Agenda 21. In our school system, now our houses with these smart meters, and our environment and our economy has all gone to hell. I mean, people have to understand what's going on here. You know, the first George Bush he did all this stuff, like the guy was talking in front of me. It's just so much going through my mind right now. I guess there's so much to say on this subject that people have to understand. If they even Google Agenda 21, they would find out where it started, exactly who started it, and what's all involved. All of our country, all of our different areas, like I said, the economy, the environment, it's all involved. The wetlands project, all this. My website, W4AR.com, has all about smart meters and Agenda 21. I didn't plan to call in to, you know, yell at you guys or whatever, but I just happened to get the number for calling in tomorrow night. But we'll be on tomorrow night, 11 Central Time.
You're going to be on Debbie Lewis's show tomorrow night, Securing Liberty, right?
Yes, yeah, tomorrow night.
Yeah, she's awesome. I love Debbie Lewis and William. Well, that's wife of William Lewis from William Lewis Films. I'm sure you're familiar with William Lewis, huh, Stu?
Yes.
No, not really. Bill Lewis?
William Lewis, Camp FEMA in plain sight.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not familiar with him, but.
Oh, there's a lot. He's been out there. We've been on a lot of talk shows. We've been on Coast to Coast, The Power Hour, Stan Monteith, The Preacher Man.
I've been on a lot of them.
Oh, Shad Olson, Marty Oakley. I mean, we've done a lot. We've probably done about 20 different shows. And
I'm an independent activist and environmentalist, and I don't do anything as far as the United Nations goes. I'm not really okay with the whole New World Order thing. But I am an environmentalist, and I 100% do stand up for taking care of our planet. We only have one.
You know, the big thing about our planet is we have the free energy. You know, I'm a building contractor by trade, okay? And I've studied solar since in the early 1980s. And we've gone all past all the solar and all the alternatives and everything. And it comes down to, yes, there is free energy, and they could be developed. Area 51 has it. And the government uses these type of devices. And it comes from the Nikola Tesla. But, you know, solar panels are pretty cheap right now. A person could set up their own home, bring in their electrician for $2,000 to convert it over, install their own system themselves for about, you could buy it off the shelf right now for around $10,000. They've come down in that price.
Right.
And, you know, as far as panels, these little windmills, it looks like a little wind turbine on your roof that, you know, takes heat out of the attic. They've got those now for $350 a piece. You can buy the 120-watt panels for less than $800 a piece right off the internet. You can get the 3,500-watt inverters, which covers a home if you're using up to 3,000 kilowatts per month of electricity. That's adequate for the conversion rate, and it takes about 24 batteries, you know, you can buy for $80 to $100 a piece at Walmart. But the problem
I've been following the progress of geothermal energy, and it's progressively getting less expensive as well.
Yes, it is. But, I mean, as far as the conversion, and the problem is what we have in the states is that the federal government has intentionally done everything they can to keep from this really happening because of the major corporations, once again, the utility companies, the control, and trying to convert their properties over to this free energy. And, you know, the American people themselves, we have a third federal tax credit, but the problem is there's no money available. It's like the state of Missouri here. We had a Congressman Holslaw from the state of Missouri, South Kansas City congressman, that got the first legislation through about 2.5 years ago here in Missouri to where they forced it in to where it's state bonds, revenue bonds, issue revenue bonds, city, county revenue bonds. The state of Missouri, that is St. Louis and Kansas City, were the first two to take it as a format, should we say, platform, to make available. Say if I, as a contractor, went to them and say, look, I have a customer that wants to get financing on their solar for their business, as an example, they would have to offer revenue bonds immediately under state law, state of Missouri, to finance the other two-thirds or finance 100%, which there's a third federal and now two-thirds write-off in Missouri along with that. And so Missouri's kind of picked up where California used to be the lead. Missouri has become the lead. But there was a congressman, federal congressman, out of California that I forgot his name, that picked it up to force it down Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, HUD's throats, and it got killed. The bill to force it on the housing issue, and that has gone nowhere. It comes back to the feds. They are doing everything they can to block it, and it's because one person. If a person looks at who the law firm is that writes 99% of the legislation in the United States for the federal government, that is for the Congress, the U.S. Congress, and U.S. Senate, it is Norman Philip Brownstein of the Brownstein Law Firm out of Washington, D.C. He goes by the name of Philip Brownstein, Norman Philip Brownstein in Washington. He goes by the name of Norman Brownstein in Denver, Colorado, and he goes by the name of Philip Brownstein in Mexico City, Mexico, which he was tied up in the Solana City Corp, money laundering, etc. That is Leonard Millman, Mike's in-law, and Daddy Bush's attorney. And he was on the board of directors of Silverado, where Neil Bush was director, the CIA money drug bank there in Denver, etc. Norman Philip Brownstein is the one who writes the legislation. They call him the 101st senator, and has been referred to him as that over the years. He helped kill the solar part of it. He's the one that pushes everything, taking over the country. And if you look at the Norman Philip Brownstein law firm out of Denver, and you look at the law firms they control around the United States, it's because they control so many assets of these trusts that were set up to hide their identity. And if you look at Norman Brownstein, he shows up as the board of directors, on the board of directors of almost every major corporation that has failed, including Enron and others in the United States of America.
Well, there are, you know, there's people all over standing up, and as far as United States Marines go, there's a man out in California by the name of Peter Santilli. He's got the Pete Santilli show between 2 and 5 in the afternoon, and those people are all standing up.
Pete Santilli is a pathological liar that tape recorded a private conversation with Gordon Duff and then played it
on the air and
then claimed that he was threatened, of which he was not. He played the same game on me with a stooge named Bruce Montola. And Pete Santilli, we did a thorough investigation. He has been kicked, by the way, off of the air. He is banned for life by the FCC because of a stunt. Illegal stunt. He is banned for life from all AM and FM stations, and he is a mouthpiece and is on the payroll, I'm going to say it right now, of APEC, the American-Israeli Pact, which is committing espionage in the United States. Pete Santilli, my door, I'd
you
break
really
his
think,
fucking
and you really,
neck.
And you really think that You,
I've already
really,
been down the path with Pete Santilli. Don't talk to me about Pete Santilli. I've already identified him. I hate to say this on your program, Lisa, but I have an attitude towards Pete Santilli.
I need to hear what you got to say, Lisa. I need to hear what you got to say, Lisa.
I don't like him either. I've had a personal experience with him, and let's just say that he's not the real deal. If he was, he wouldn't have acted the way he did.
Larry, if you go to my website, stuweb.com, you look. Chime in too, Larry. Hold on.
Yeah. I need you guys' opinion because people are coming to me, Austin, and I need everybody's opinion, okay? Because I'm fighting, you know, Austin.
Let me put in my two cents. Hold on. I've had Guerrilla Radio for a year before Pete Santilli ever had Guerrilla Radio or his Guerrilla Media or whatever. He's come out. And his stoolies come out accusing me of ripping him, and I freely admit that I ripped Guerrilla Radio from Rage Against the Machine. Trust me, he had nothing to do with my name of Guerrilla Radio. Nothing, period. He's a little crybaby, whining, saboteuring COINTEL stoolie.
And
yes,
there's a,
fair enough.
there's on my website, if you scroll down in the right column, it's somewhere about a month ago, one of the gals that was directly tied to him for quite a while that has, I think it's called corporatism something off of Facebook, corporatism something. She outed him on the Vinny. Pardon me?
I'm on you.
She outed him on the Vinny.
She blew the whistle on him.
Yeah, she outed him on the Vinny Eastwood show on what he had done to her. He's got a pattern here of doing things. I've been on his show. I was a guest on his show. And then he turns around and he sets up after begging me to get Gordon Duff to talk to him. And I made the call and did a favor for him by even asking Gordon to call him. He tape recorded the conversation. He spliced the conversation, and then he made it sound like Gordon was threatening him, and he played this game. He did the same thing with Jim Fetzer, who's pretty much an expert on 911, Professor Jim Fetzer. He did the same thing with him. Now, you know, I've said enough on it. My right column speaks volumes of Pizza and Tilly. I'm trying to see. It's been about a month ago. You just scroll down that column in the right column of StuWeb.com. It says it all. I don't want to discuss the guy anymore. I don't want to even give him attention. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Okay,
I think we're all on the same page about him.
Okay,
there is
a federal
investigation going on. As far as Lisa and Austin go,
you know, I have the utmost respect for you guys, and you know that, Austin. And for me, what's going on with me is very serious, okay? And I don't know who's out there listening, but I'm telling everybody, Operation Storm Cell is not a joke. I've people been accusing me of being a troll and all kinds of shit, and I'm spreading it to the world. And my family and my friends are being murdered in Ohio by gangsters and mobsters, and that I'm not standing down, and I'm blowing the whistle, and that I'm asking everybody to follow Operation Storm Cell. That's all I'm asking you to do. And I really don't care about all the games or the drama. My family and my friends are being killed. I don't care about the drama, you guys. It's all bullshit to me. My family and my friends are being murdered. And people are calling me a troll and calling me names. I don't give a rat's ass about none of that. What I give a shit about is people are dying, and I need my story to get aired somehow.
Well, it's hard to get it aired with Pete Santilli. He's not on the air anymore.
Yeah, no, there's some different show that I assumed you guys were all tied together because of the gorilla name.
No, I gave you the scoop on the gorilla name.
Yeah, you just gave it to me, but they have a show.
He used to be on 16 AM stations. He's been banned for life because of what he did to Gordon Duff and Jim Fetzer.
If you go to PeteSantilli.com, he's on every day.
You can listen to him on the internet. He has no listening audience. I'm just saying,
Austin. I'm saying to you, Austin. I've been listening to the show. I associated the word gorilla with your show and with other shows. I just assumed that everybody was tied together. That's my mistake.
No problem, Larry. Listen, I have no affiliation with Pete Santilli or Gorilla Media or anything like that. I am here at FreedomizerRadio.com. That is my station. That is where I'm at. And Pete Santilli, if anyone ripped, he ripped me. And I ripped Rage Against the Machine, and I stated all the time freely. I ripped Rage Against the Machine. It's even our intro song.
Right on.
It's pretty obvious.
Well, my apologies for my frustration. And like I said, you know, I listen to a lot of talk radio. I've been listening to talk radio for a long time, but I never thought about using talk radio as a venue to come out and tell this story. Number one, because I'm concerned about my family.
And I understand
when I hear everybody talking about standing up and nobody having courage, I'm telling you guys that there's an injured veteran in Ohio and I'm standing up.
Well, and we appreciate that. Listen, Larry, that the whole point is we tell it like it is. I would never sabotage a guest or play any games like that. If I have anything to say to any of my guests or anyone calling in, I say it straight up on the air.
I
don't play any
of
these little splice and dice games and all this nonsense.
Now, Larry, if you go to my website,
I'm on your site,
stuweb.com, in the right column, look back to January the 23rd. I just looked it up for you.
All right,
that answered your question about that stooge, Apex stooge. So let's change the subject.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Stu, I would appreciate any, you know, if you'd at least take a look at my stuff and see what's going on in Ohio.
I will. What's your website again?
No problem. And go ahead, plug
Storm
your
Cell.
Site again.
It's Operation Storm Cell. It's Operation Storm Cell. If you Google it, there's a video, and it's under Facebook.com. I don't have a website yet, but it's under Facebook.com, Operation Storm Cell.
Okay. Well, I'll take a look at it.
And I appreciate it, and I didn't mean to get anybody stirred up. And Lisa, as a lady, I know you're a tough lady, but I apologize.
Oh, no, that's okay, man. You didn't know.
The guys can bite me. But when it comes to the ladies,
no,
I'll apologize.
No.
I love you, Austin.
I love you too. Stick around. Listen. I was just telling Lisa earlier today before the show that we've been a little too kumbaya. We gotta pull out the guerrilla tactics again, and it's time.
We're on guerrilla
radio.
Yeah, I'm on it. I have no problem being. I have no problem voicing my opinion. And as you can see, you know, if people hear that there's some frustration in somebody's voice, I think frustration is a sign of sincerity. And I'm very sincere when I tell everything that's going on. I'm telling you that there's a body count, and it ain't little. There's a body count in Ohio, and it concerns members of my family and people that I know and care about, and I'm concerned.
Why,
so everybody,
I don't blame you.
You know, so everybody, like I said, you know, and I'll plug it again one more time. It's Operation Storm Cell. You can Google it, do whatever you want to do. But under Google, there's a live show now. I put it out there for about 2 hours by another activist who told me that he would help me get things started and get things kicked off. And then, you know, as far as the rest of it goes, I'm just going to do my part to try to just keep promoting the campaign the best that I can, and I thank you guys for all your support.
Absolutely. And you can post on my Facebook page too, sweetie.
Where's that? Where's yours at, Lisa?
It's just under Lisa Brumfield.
I think I have you on there, don't I?
Yeah, you do. It's Lisa Brumfield, B as in boy, rum like the drink, RUMFIEL.
Do you want me to post
Lisa,
it there?
Lisa Brumfield.
Yeah, sweetie, go ahead. Post away, you know.
Okay.
Post away.
I've been trying to put a little bits of links in exposing the enemy, but I have a hard time with the whole Facebook thing, trying to figure out how to get stuff passed from one person to the other, and I kind of struggle with it a little bit. But you know, like I said, I think that talk radio has been a big help, and you know, you guys have. I've been trying to use some of the chat rooms and try to get a little exposure that way, and it's you know, at least it's out there, and you know, I'm not scared and I'm not standing down, and you know, whatever the venues are, you know, I appreciate everybody's support. We're all American people, and there's going to come a point where we're all going to have to put our drama and our bad feelings aside, and we're all going to have to fight for each other, all of us. We're going to have to figure out a way to do that. We can't continue to conflict with one another. That's what they want.
That you're hearing that today is not internal patriots against internal patriots. It's shills. It's patriots against a shill. There's a difference.
Right.
And
there
those
is.
People will,
Amen.
Those people will never, a shill will never be on our side.
I
never.
See what you're saying.
You know,
well, I'm going to go on Mr. Webb's website and check out some of his stuff and see what's going on there. And like I said, I've been trying to follow the whole movement with everybody, with talk radio and the whole and just find out what's going on, because I'm actually, you know, if you guys don't understand what happens when you're psychologically overdosed, you lose a chunk of stuff, okay? And I'm like having to re-educate myself. I mean, they overdosed me, you guys, and I suffered.
okay, and it's my recovery processes are long and difficult, and so I'm basically relearning everything that I ever had to know in my life. I've had to put everything to the side and just start re-educating myself.
Well, keep fighting the good fight, Larry. And we're gonna promote Operation Storm Cell. Check out his Facebook page, everybody. That's Larry from Ohio, big whistleblower. We're happy to have him on.
Thanks, Austin, and I'll talk to you guys later. Everybody, have a great day.
Thank you, Larry.
You too, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Talk soon.
Bye. How about that?
There you go.
How about that, Stu?
Another one.
I could not believe when you brought that up. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well,
the shill, Santilli the shill, enough said. Sorry. When I hear his name, I just want to get my hands around his throat, the little punk. By the way, you know, he claims to be a big buff Marine. I've been in the Marine Corps. He delivered toilet paper, okay? That's what he did. He drove a truck delivering toilet paper to the urinals. That's his big job in the Marine Corps. I already know all the information about him. He claims to have all this military might behind him and everything. The military would like to take him to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, for what he's done to a few people, veterans today. I'll say that.
Well, you don't have
so
to worry.
So, Petey boy, they
too.
Know
they're,
about
they're,
your APEC connections. They don't like APEC either.
Oh yeah, he's tied in with APEC. He's a little shill. That's all
he
is.
He is a
shill.
Yeah,
and he's committing
mortgage fraud, by the way.
Anyone that would take someone what they say, edit it out, and then play it to make it sound like if everything was out of context and do something as low as that is not as that's all that's just chill. That's all
it's against the law. It's against the law to record.
That is not a radio host of any kind.
No, and it's against the law to record someone's conversation, private conversation, played on the airways, by the way. He still could be arrested for that. He has not been.
Well,
but
yeah,
he has made a mistake by taking Israeli APEC money, so therefore he's classified as a terrorist right now. I told you I'd give you a hint of something last show. We'll leave it as that.
Well, there you go.
There's no love of APEC here either.
I have no love of anybody involved.
No love there.
No. It's board of directors of Norman Brownstein and Larry Mizell of Denver, Colorado.
Denver, where I live.
Keeps coming back to Denver, sweetie. It keeps coming back to the Bush Crime Syndicate, the headquarters for all the theft. Denver, Colorado.
They love it here.
You're on ley lines. It happens to be the summer solstice and the summer and winter solstice and their satanic worships, and it deals with the ley lines. If I could ever figure out all the stuff about the ley lines, someone that's done years of research ought to come forward and start giving me an explanation and education. I don't have time.
So something really neat happened to me today, guys. I was at Costco just doing a little bit of shopping, and there was this guy there, and he was selling solar energy, like, you know, portable solar energy units and lamps, LED, and all this other stuff, survival stuff. And so he starts giving this pitch about it, and of course I'm interested. And I'm listening to him, and I'm walking around the display trying to decide if I want to get any of the stuff. And anyway, I said, I'm interested not for camping. I'm interested more for survivalism, you know. And he's like, oh, really? And I said, yeah, you know, like living off the grid, that sort of thing. He's like, I probably know more about that stuff than you. And I'm like, maybe not. I don't know. And so we got into this big discussion in the middle of Costco about the new world order and GMOs and fluoride and, you know, all this fraud and deceit in our government and everything. I mean, we were just laying it out there. It was the coolest conversation. And this other guy was just walking around listening to us, and he walks up to me and he's like, I couldn't help but hear you guys were talking about GMOs and Agenda 21 and all this. And I looked at him dead in the eyes, and I'm like, yeah, we sure are, because I didn't know if he was going to say something negative or not. And I wanted to know I was going to back whatever I said. And he turned around and goes, it's all true. So the three of us started having this awake conversation in the middle of Costco. Is the most encouraging thing in the world. I mean, how often does that happen? People are starting to wake up.
They are waking up. You know how I test them, Lisa? I go to get gas. Somebody on the other side of the pump, you know, when we get these little spurts where they're doing a little, you know, trading and shove the prices up and down an extra 50 cents a gallon. And I'll say, oh, God, I'm getting tired of paying this $50 or $80 to fill the tank. And then people say, yeah, something needs to be done about it. I say, yeah, we need a revolution. That's one of my favorite ways to start conversations.
Yeah.
We need a revolution.
I love that.
We need a revolution. You know, something's overpriced. You're staying at the store and people are paying $200 for, you know, a half of a grocery basket full of food, you know, and they're bitching about paying, you know, $200. Oh, no, you know. Yeah, we need a revolution. We need to put a stop to this crime syndicate. Oh, God, you ought to hear the people. They'll start just, a conversation will start. Try it. Try it next time you go into your friendly 7-Eleven, your quick trip, about a revolution, what needs to be done. You'll be surprised the reaction that you get. I do it all the time.
I'm
just
going
to rile people up.
I'll try that out.
Yeah, I do it all the time to rile up. I love doing it in front of cops, especially when I see a cop standing in a quick trip store, and I mention that, just to watch their face, watch the fear on their face.
Hell yeah.
There are a lot
yeah.
of them awake.
I'm so sick and tired of the system, the way it is. It's so damn corrupt. And cops are just little freaking money collectors for these greedy, evil minions that are in control of everything. And I just wish, I don't know, I think some of them are waking up. I ran into a police officer at a, where was it? Like, you know, one of those Home Depot. I think it was a Home
Depot. What'd you do? You ran into someone from DHS?
No, that's a different story. No, this is, I was at a Home Depot, and I ran into a police officer. Well, I saw a police officer there just standing there. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go talk to him. So I went over. And I was like, hey. And he's like, hey. And I said, so I have to ask you a question. I said, you know the world's going to crap. And, you see what's going on with Occupy and all this. And I said, what's the word with the police officers back there? Are they supportive of the Occupy movement or not? And he's like, very supportive for the most part. I said, I don't know. It seems like a lot of power-hungry types kind of get a kick out of that, because a lot of us, Lisa, just want to pay our bills, and we're afraid to lose our pension. And I said, so do you know the connection, you know, tying into the bankers? He goes, yeah, people are starting to talk about that. I said, seriously? He said, yeah. And I said, so they're starting to wake up. He's like, pretty much. And I said, so if it came down to it and there was a revolution, you know, What would happen? I mean, would they be back in the bankers or would they be back in the people? And he's like, well, I can only speak for myself and the people closest to me. And he was like a sergeant. He's like, but we would all back the people.
I think that that's one of the reasons we've seen with the sheriffs coming out, so many of them, and about the guns. And then, you know, today
right.
we had Oklahoma pass, apparently today they passed or yesterday they passed, saying no to the health care. You know, it comes back to the Constitution. See, we're 50 states. What people have got to understand is we're 50 states united together. And that's what, you know, gives us the power. It comes back to the 10th Amendment. We're sovereign states. And as a result, we have the power to dictate to the United States government. Instead, we've allowed them to dictate, and they've taken over, and of course, the New World Order is in control of the federal government. Like Mike said, there's 10,000 of them really at the top, and there's probably about 4,000 or 5,000 within government that have been infiltrated. Every time somebody in the, you know, Department of Homeland Security does something criminal, they get promoted up, you know, to a supervisory position, and that's the problem that we have. Just like Michael or David Mann, the Public Integrity Section of the U.S. Department of Justice, the Inspector General's Office, which is the top watchdog over the entire Justice Department, supposed to be there to arrest anybody that does anything illegal inside the Justice Department. But yet, where did he launder his money? Through M&L Business Machines of Denver, a cutout for Leonard Millman that collapsed in 1990. And he laundered it through his attorney named David Berg in Boulder, Colorado, into an M&L Business Machine account of $1.5 million. Who was prior to him? It was Lee Reddick of the U.S. Department of Justice, Public Integrity Section, been there for 20-some-odd years. Al Martin, who I helped get his book published, the Iran-Contra whistleblower, had a whole story about Lee Reddick, the cover-up meister. They called it the God Squad at the U.S. Department of Justice. Who did they have in the Senate Judiciary Committees for years? The pig, Arlen Specter. Thank God you took him off my planet. I hope he's burning well in hell. I hope his ass is frying. For all the damage done to the United States of America. Every time a New World Order pig dies, I just keep thanking the God, and I say, thank you, Lord, for taking him off my planet. I have
I have no guilt or remorse about it either. They've got it coming.
Yeah.
They've got it coming.
And God has humor with me. He has to, because he keeps listening to me and keeps answering my prayers, so something must be going on. But, you know, him and I have a little thing. And but when it came to Arlen Specter, he had been there for almost 20 years, covering up. And I even remember the hearings when he had Janet Reynal, the dyke, crossbreed, cross-dressed, whatever you want to call it. She had two body parts, male and female, both. I don't know, morphidite or whatever they call it. And
Is she really?
And she had been the cover-up meister, had been the cover-up meister for the Bush-Clinton Crime Syndicate for years in Miami, covering up drugs and guns, Iran-Contra, part of C-Corps and Ollie North and Daddy Bush's operation and Jeb Bush's down there. Of course, she got promoted and put in as attorney general. But I remember during the hearings when she was up there, and I was wanting to shoot my TV, but, you know, I didn't want to buy another one. But she was on there with Arlen Specter, and she was saying, oh, I have total confidence in the Public Integrity Section of the U.S. Department of Justice that they'll do the right thing and they'll do their job if we kill the independent prosecutor law. So we don't have to have any more independent prosecutors that we have to go around and bribe and pay off and so on and so forth. Those weren't her words, but that's what she was saying. And here's Arlen Specter up there saying, yeah, we got to kill this law. We got to get rid of this law. Well, that is part of the problem that we have in this country. And it's just like the checks and balances in this country in 1988 when Daddy Bush became president of the United States. What's the first thing he did? He put in this law, introduced it to make it to where everything, when an FBI agent makes a report, say somebody, he's got somebody hauling a ton of cocaine right there and he's going to bust them, and he's got to push up before he can get a warrant. He has to push it up to his boss. A supervisor, which they hold those supervisory positions, and then they shove it up to the U.S. Attorney's office, and then the U.S. Attorney now has to send it to the Inspector General, the Public Integrity Section, the U.S. Department of Justice, and they are the ones that make the determination on who's going to get busted and who isn't. So if you have an honest U.S. Attorney, which very few are honest, and if you have an honest FBI agent out there, which there's a few honest ones out there, about half of them. The other half are on their payroll to cover up things. And when you have that, they push it up there, and the first thing they do is they send it back, and they say, we've got them in an investigation over here in Miami, so Denver, you can't touch them. We're going to bust them in Miami. Send us all your files. So all the files disappear out of Denver, and they go up to this Public Integrity Section, and, of course, they get shredded. and this is the way it operates. Now, when they used to have the racketeering offices, which they only have one today, the checks and balances have been taken out in 1988 after Bush arrives. I think it was in, actually about 86 or 88 they started eliminating them. I had two U.S. attorneys that I was working with at the time pertaining to the crimes, and one of them said he met with a senator, and I'm not going to even mention, but one of the – he teaches at Brown University now. He went and sat down with a senator, and a senator tried to offer him a bribe just to shut up and go away. A U.S. senator was offering a racketeering, former racketeering U.S. inspector or U.S. attorney, a bribe in behalf of the Bushes, and said, this is the way we operate up here. You aren't going to get any place. You might as well just take this. And I forgot the exact amount, something like 10 grand or something in an envelope, that he was sitting there going to pay this guy because he already had a meeting set up with him. He'd already talked to Daddy Bush, obviously, and Daddy Bush has got envelopes full of cash to shut the guy up, have him go away. This is the way it operates in Washington, D.C., and this is the way the real country operates that people are unaware of. And what goes on behind the scenes in the intelligence community, nobody can believe. I mean, it's taken me 29 years of education out of the land of being naive and in diapers to being from the University of the Bush, Clinton, Milman, Mizell Crime Syndicate and having a PhD to understand how things operate. And they do not operate the way people think they operate. One of the things that scares the U.S. Congress and Senate to death is to hear from their constituents. And I'm not talking about just phone calls when something ticks off people. I'm talking about seeing them in the parking lot and having a chat with them. I don't like the way you're voting. I don't like what you're doing for our community. And publicly, going to events, this is one of the reasons they don't do town hall meetings. And if they do, you attack them at the town hall meeting verbally with what they have been doing against the Constitution. They can't stand that. I did one in Denver, Colorado, back in at the university, or not the University of Boulder, but up in Boulder at a convention center. And I'm trying to think of the congressman's name or senator's name from Colorado there. And I did him in front of a stooge that was one of Bill Clinton's stooges, and this was that was promoting health care, the national ID card / Hillary's national health care back in 1994, I believe it was, or 95 there in Boulder. And I attacked him in public, right up in public. Those two got off the stage and left. The meeting was over with. 3,000 people were there. The meeting was over with. They just said they're going to take a break. They left. I knew they weren't coming back, so I decided to exit because there were a lot of people ticked off at what I said to them. I called them a bunch of crooks and what they were. I laid it down on them, told people what they were unaware of and what they didn't really want to hear about health care, national ID, chips, the whole bit, which is going to come to everybody that takes their health care. Once you get your health care, one of the keys, it's in the law of the health care bill, folks, is you're going to have to take a chip on your butt in order to get your health care, in case you haven't read the health care bill.
I have a question about that, because I've heard conflicting stories. I've seen articles posted about that, and then I've had people counter that and say, no, I've read the bill, it's not in there.
It is in there. I saw it myself. I have a page on it. I can probably pull for you, Lisa, and get it to
could
you.
Could you? Would you, please?
Yes, I'll have to go back
in. Several people...
Yeah.
Okay, because, yeah, I've had several people ask me, and I want to have a good answer on that. And I'm not going to read their freaking thousand-page freaking retard piece of legislation.
We have to remember what Daddy Bush has said, some of his favorite quotes that I've ingrained in my brain over the years that other people have told me that have had meetings with him, spooks that I know, plenty of them, believe me. Consolidation or New World Order is the consolidation of more power and more money into tighter, righter, whiter, fewer, eliter hands, close quote, is New World Order. And he says, Budsters, the American people, they're a bunch of Budsters. They're Bud people, he calls us, Bud. As in Budweiser beer, Bud people, you know, the broke, the useless, and depressed. And as long as we keep a roof over their head, food on their table, a car in their driveway, and gas in their gas tank to come to and from our place of employment where we can control them, and or to and from their government job, which we control them, he says we can keep the Budsters at bay. And one said, well, what's going to happen as your new world order approaches? You take over the economy and put the mom and pops out of business, and you consolidate all this into your major corporations, which they have done. And he says, you've got all these Budsters. He said, well, that's what the FEMA camps we've created from the drug money is all about, that Ollie North created in what was called Rex 84 in 1984, which was adopted
right.
by the Congress and Senate after it was set up with drug money. Under the Cotola game, Private Tyree still in prison over that. But that's
yeah, that was all tied into Iran-Contra.
It's still alive today. Iran-Contra still alive today. Larry Mizell in Denver controls 11 state drug operations. You can go into Colorado. This is how much I know about the boys out in Denver. There's a place down there, used to be a bunch of strip joints that they own that Norman Brownstein, Mizell, Millman, and Alan Carshaw showed up on, Millman's brother-in-law, the attorney. And it was Shotgun Willie's was one of them, someplace down off
yep.
Colorado Boulevard. There
Cabaret,
were several other
Cabaret.
Ones. Proof of the Pudding, I think, was another one out there off of Alameda, someplace out south. Maybe it was Alameda. It was
well,
called
Proof of the Pudding is a restaurant. That's not a strip club.
Right. Not a strip club, but it used to be a restaurant bar, Proof of the Pudding. It
right.
used to be
it
a
is.
Bar.
It is still.
Okay, well,
yeah.
anyway, they serve, if you're a regular customer and you know the bartender or you know one of the parties in there, you can buy your cocaine over the counter, in case you did not know that, Lisa. And there used
wow.
to be a place.
Good to
there
know.
Used to be a place in Boulder, Colorado, called Pelican Pete's Restaurant that Alan Karsh, Millman's brother-in-law, used to import the drugs out of Mexico, the cocaine. It would land at the Stapleton Airport, and then for a while it was landed at DIA, and then they built that other airstrip out east of there just so they could bring the coke in out there. And it comes in out there, and it's taken to Pelican Pete's, which has a bomb shelter underneath the restaurant where it's brought in seafood. And then the seafood is distributed from there, not only to the restaurant there, but to other restaurants that they own, because there's that amount of seafood coming in. And it's always delivered on a Tuesday and a Thursday after 6 p.m., where they have a customs agent who they slip a couple $300, buys off the load, and they pack it down in seafood because the ice covers the heat of the cocaine from Mexico. It covers it from U.S. satellites, and this is the purpose of it. Now, Pelican Pete's has been a major distributor of theirs for years. You can buy also from Pelican. It used to be called Pelican Pete's Restaurant there in Boulder. You can buy over-the-counter cocaine as long as you know somebody. There are strip joints all around there. There was a dozen of them that were underneath the name of Bobby Rifkin. He's now dead, I understand. But Bobby Rifkin had a dozen of them around town. Then Melman had another place called Hoffman's Liquor over in Aurora, Colorado, where if you go into Hoffman's liquor store, you can buy anything from cocaine to heroin to marijuana over the counter from the clerk behind the counter, as long as you're a regular customer.
Wow. Hey, guys, I love, 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 always love talking to you, Stu. Amazing source of information. I don't know where you get your photographic memory from, but I'm jealous.
I don't know. I'm still suffering from 3 concussions, you know.
I wish I had the memory
of 20 years ago.
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. All right, well. Let's take off for about 5 minutes, and we'll be back, all right?
Hang around, guys.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils. botanical organic additives, the best steam expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called SolarVay. And SolarVay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have SolarVay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has SolarVay. You sign up enough people, and SolarVay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to SolarVay.com/freedomizer. That's SolarVay, SolarVay.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, SolarVay.com/freedomizer.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella's and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We're going to let them know the new world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy, bring in a worldwide police state. When you suggest it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
Hello again, Freedomist Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to FreedomizerRadio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house. And Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it. And this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Oh, we're back, right, everybody. Hey, wait. Are you stepping on me again?
I never know if you're going to say anything or not. Like, sometimes there's this,
are
like...
Are you stepping on me again?
Yes, I am. Do you like it?
Yeah, I like it. Every now and then it's okay to be stomped, if you're into that kind of thing.
I won't even touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Oh,
so.
Well, I was going to say, how come it's always a 10-foot pole? What's wrong with, like, 8 3/4-foot pole or something like that?
Anyway, hi, Stu. Are you around?
I am still here.
Good. That's excellent. So, yeah. So, I like all the name dropping you were doing here in this last section. Seems to me you dropped Denver a couple times too. That's interesting. An interesting thing. Proof of the pudding is not too far from my house, maybe 20 minutes.
I'll tell you something you might take a look at, Lisa, because I'm redoing my website for mobile apps, you know, where everybody can tune in now on iPads and their cell phones, and I'm ready to convert as soon as I get all my links, and I didn't realize how many I really had. And I started going through my file offline and starting to create the links, cut and paste in my spare time. And on my website, if you go to stuweb.com and you look at the left top column, it says Future Sitemap, is what it says, Future Sitemap, stuweb.com. Now, I'm only up to the M's, and I'm only 35% complete because I've actually got nearly 100 links that were broken. And I mean broken, you know, when I first set my site up in 2004, I would put the titles in, but I put space instead of hyphened or underscore, so it doesn't read on the internet properly. So sometimes you have to cut and paste the links. So I've got to go back and redo those. So not all those links that are broken are going to get done here this week, but hopefully by the end of this week, I am going to have the future sitemap completed as far as the one that I'll put up temporarily. Okay. And convert over to the other, because I'm dumping everything. I'm just going to have the links, but they're in alphabetical order according to title. But if you go into where it says JD Method in there, JD Method, and you look at the stuff about Larry Mizell, that talks about a lot of the drug operations, including the killing of Mayor Frederico Pena's nephew, who was a 13-year-old kid who Mayor Frederico Pena was having sex with, his nephew. So Larry Mizell killed the nephew to get rid of the liability by the same guy, John King, who was arrested at United Bank of Denver for killing those four bank guards who stole $20,000 from Larry Mizell and Leonard Millman's drug operation. And the guy walks right in on camera, blows away four people at United Bank who were the drug couriers counting the money every night for the crime syndicate, where they brought boxes. The couriers would bring boxes of money every night to the place, and they counted it and tagged it and all that. And they found out they got ripped off for $20,000, missing $20,000. So Mizell says, well, you know, I'm not going to put up with this. So he pays John King $200,000 to go kill four bank guards, did it right on camera. The feds knew it, the state knew it, the state charged him, and some attorney got him off the charges. They made sure that he got off the charges. And the feds never brought any charges against him. John King, a former Denver cop, has been involved in murdering 150 people for the crime syndicate out there. He still does killings, I understand. He's walking free today, and he laundered $197,000 the next day after he killed the bank guards in Dick Millman's M&L business machines, which I have those records. And M&L's records were thrown into bankruptcy.
I want to know how you know this.
M&L business machines, it happens to be, without getting too much into it, I had five of the co-defendants in the case were jailed with me, incarcerated, and I started questioning everybody because I had all these Silverado people when I was being held as a political prisoner there in Colorado, and M&L vice presidents and so forth, and so I got people to talking to me. And it happens to be that I happened to find a PI on the outside that did a little bit of investigation. And it happens to be that in 1997, there was years, 7 years later, M&L Business Machines, they brought it up before a grand jury, and Leonard Millman had to pay an $80 million fine to keep from going to prison, of which the case was put under seal. I was invited to come and testify before the grand jury and give my information that I had on Millman. And I heard through Al Martin and Steven Dinnerstein, that's now dead, a famous Iran-Contra DLD former Inspector General, Assistant Inspector General, spook at the Pentagon. Don't take your information, Stu, because what they're going to do is they're going to whitewash everything, which they did. But Millman had to pay an $80 million fine. Federico Pena, who was who was Secretary of Department of Energy at the time, in 1997, had to resign, came on the press and said he's resigning as a secretary because of family. Well, it wasn't over family. And a reporter with the Rocky Mountain News, I tipped off, and he asked him the question, is it true you're resigning because you're under a federal indictment, and so therefore you have to resign? Who are you? Oh, what paper are you with? Pena got pretty scared. Larry Mizell paid about $5 million. Norman Brown and others paid about $5 million each in fines, and that was to cover up a lot of the bribes to public officials all over Colorado, FBI agents, U.S. attorneys, mayors of Denver, Frederico Pena is $2.5 million in bribes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those records are now sealed under the national security seals as a result of Bill Clinton.
Oh, that's a shock.
If you go to my website, it's up there. Go to Mike Norton, let me see, where it says future site. We can guide it that way. I think it's either under Mike Norton or it's under M&L Business Machines, whichever it is. His bribe is up there. I believe it's on the site now. I'm trying to find it right now, but it'd be an alpha. Yeah, it is. Under M&L Business Machines, U.S. Attorney Mike Norton's partial bribe. That's where M&L collapsed. Millman stole the money back from him. Collapsed it under bankruptcy. They claimed to have been the check hiding that broke the Bank of Aurora or the Capital Fed of Aurora back in 1990. But right here you can see that Mike Norton was trying to get back his bribes, and it was at the time he was trying to collect it back out of bankruptcy court of any assets that were left. It's on page 3 where it says M&L Business Machines. It lists his name, Mike Norton. And there was $79,218 claim he was putting in against M&L's bankruptcy to get his $1.5 million in bribes. Don't ask me where I got those documents. Okay?
Hey, where'd you get those documents?
I can't tell you where I got those documents. I had to go sit down with an attorney and have a chat with him. And I don't want to tell you, before all of a sudden he threw the file at me.
Right?
Here,
that's
get out of my office.
About.
He didn't like the pictures
I
was showing
too.
Him.
You know I love you.
He didn't like those pictures I was showing of him and his girlfriends. They were awful young.
obstacle. Oh, shit. Ooh, it's getting hot in here.
I've been around too many spokes for too long. I know how the game's played. Daddy Bush taught me well, and Leonard Millman.
Right? Right. Really? I like it. I like it when it's hot in Guerrilla Radio. It's hot. And anyone wants to call in, it's 347-324-3704. We love callers. It's all good to call in. It's all good in the neighborhood.
But about Mayor Pena that we talked about, if you look under that J.D. Method. Cash was the Oklahoma City cover-up meister. J.D. Method, under that page that says future website or future sitemap, you can see where J.D. Method was a mule, they call him, and they call him couriers in Colorado for Iran-Contra, which still goes on today. And, you know, he was involved in ripping people off for millions of dollars in scams, you know, investment scams for Mizell and Millman. And the problem was he got pissed off because they didn't protect him, and he sat for 18 years in jail. And he got out in 2010, and he found me through another source and came to me. So there's his affidavits and statements that he was then sending, you know, from jail to the United States Senate. Also to your attorney general, who later became the underneath Obama here, the one that's what's his name? That just resigned as the Bureau of Land Management the Secretary of Interior from Colorado. You know what I'm talking about?
There's a glitch in the photographic memory?
Yeah, there's a glitch here on names. You've had me at it for 2 hours here. I've got a glitch. It comes to my combination of my old age and my one rollover and two other car crashes, you know, the brain damage. But I'm trying to think of the guy's name. He just resigned. He was former attorney general of the state of Colorado, and they're replacing him. He's a Mexican. I can't think of his name. Lisa, do you remember right out of Colorado there? God.
Who is
anyway,
he?
In this J.D. Method stuff, it's got his name in there. He was attorney general at the time, but there's several documents up there and letters and so forth that Cash or J.D. Method gave me and with an affidavit. And it gives a pretty good explanation of the current ongoing drug operations involving a furniture company right there in Colorado where they haul in for the western states, hauling in from Canada. And if you go to, if it's part of the old drug operation involving what Gene Chip Tatum, if you go to under Gene Chip Tatum on this site map, you will find an audio tape that Gene did with me, and you'll find also his different documents that he released when he was doing all these radio programs with me as a co-guest. And you can see what's called the Gene Chip Tatum Big Sky Cartel zeroes in, and Terry Nelson and the Montana Drugs. That all intertwines with the ongoing current drug operations into Colorado involving Larry Mizell of Denver, the bank bailout scamster, controlling the 11-state region of drugs and guns, including the Mexican connections. Okay? You might want to look at it. I think you're going to find that site map, everything on one page, to be very interesting when anybody really goes in and examines it once it's completed. It's about 30% complete now, or 35%.
Wow.
Hey, Kaylee.
Oh, yeah, everything seems to go back to Mizell.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Hey.
Austin.
We need one stick. I've seen you have your hand up. Come on in.
Hey, I think Shotgun Willie's is on Federal, isn't it?
I don't know where it is. I just know it was one of the strip joints, and I watched someone purchase that had been a previous customer, and somebody that was in the Patriot community He liked cocaine, apparently, way back in 94, 95 when I was out there, and somebody else knew him who was a clean guy. I don't use cocaine, never did, but he was going to prove to me that it could be bought over the counter. So
no,
I sat off in a distance and watched it happen. I said, "Oh my God!"
I don't like coke, but I do like naked dancing girls. And I think the gentleman was that one of the Salazars that you were thinking of?
Salazar, that's his name. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Yeah, Salazar. Yeah, former attorney general.
Hey, is that you, Michael?
Who? Yeah.
That Michael?
Yeah, I heard he was looking for that name, and I'm kind of familiar with. I don't know if it. Let's see. There's Ken, and who's the other one?
Salazar. Yeah, it's Kenneth Salazar. The one is former attorney general that just resigned. They're replacing him, Bureau of Land Management.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something else comes into Colorado. Colorado plays a very important big role. Every attorney general or every U.S. attorney in Denver, Colorado, comes out of the revolving door, we call it, the U.S. attorney's office, always comes out of the law firm of Norman Philip Brownstein. The one that covered up for Enron, he came out of there. Attorney General, your former Attorney General Gail Norton, who was always covering up for the boys and everything, and covered up the Denver airport scandal and all the other stuff that I exposed. Of course, she laundered her bribes through M&L as supposedly attorneys working for the Senate and downstairs in the basement that were never there, and she delivered her paychecks over there. But she, when she left the Attorney General's office, for a short period of time, she was a junior partner in the Norman Philip Brownstein law firm. Then she became, of course, Secretary of Interior. And why do they keep picking Secretaries of Interior? Why do they want that job so bad? Because the office there in Denver, Colorado, is in charge of the Western District for the Bureau of Land Management. And in landlocked areas such as Las Vegas, Nevada, Phoenix, Arizona, Southern California, so forth, where the government has claimed to own the land, the U.S. government, those are known as landlocked areas. The Bureau of Land Management, which falls underneath the Secretary of Interior from James Watts Ford, has always been a cover-up meister. They always make sure that Larry Mizell and Leonard Milman's entities and corporations, including Benrock that was tied to Rockefeller and Milman, and Larry Mizell's Red Hawk Homes of Las Vegas, Nevada, and MDC out of Arizona and MDC Land Corp out of Arizona, always get those special sales that they make, and those are bid sales where the Bureau of Land Management puts them up for bid. So there's contractors and developers that make legitimate bids and say 80 cents on the dollar, and they always get awarded the stuff for 5 cents on the dollar. Now, I got a guy with the Las Vegas Review Journal in 1995, I forgot his name, he did a series of stories about it, how they were getting it for 5 cents on the dollar, and there were competitive bids for 80 cents on the dollar. But someone can go back to look at those Bureau of Land Management sales, and it was right there, some of them even on the end of the Las Vegas Strip, which is all being developed now, the end of it on the south end. But that was 5 cents on the dollar, and the next day they would turn around and sell the water rights, sewer rights, storm sewers, et cetera. They would sell them back to the county for 25 cents on the dollar. So they were actually pocketing $20 an acre. I mean, $20,000 an acre for buying the land.
I got a couple questions. I don't know if you'd know anything about it, but I seem to have read something first about Anton LaVey had a branch of the Church of Satan somewhere north of Denver.
Well, Anthony LaVey did an interview with me back in 2004, 2005, sometime around there. The interview's up
son,
on my
right?
site. Yes, that's his son, Anthony LaVey. And Anton LaVey had the Church of Satan in America. You remember the song Hotel California?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was one that they were, the band, I forgot the name of the band, but they were talking about those spirits or something, you know.
The Eagles
did it, yeah. Well, that was about Anthony LaVey's father, about Anton LaVey. And he was always at the set-up shop at the Hotel California, they called it. And they actually made a song about it. Well, Anthony LaVey's dad, Anton LaVey, started the Church of Satan in America. He was high up in the satanic world. And so he was rewarded by being allowed to come to the satanic worship there in Denver, Colorado. Comes back to the ley lines, they call it, on something to do with Denver, Colorado, and something to do with the Argo Tunnel that's in behind it, secret underground facility that goes to the center of the earth. And it deals with ley lines, like they call the 33 parallel, which Jerusalem is on, and Atlanta and Phoenix and death camps, you know, where they put people to state-sponsored homicides, you know, where they hang them for murders and so forth, and or put them asleep for murders, etc. It's something to do with the ley lines and their satanic crap. Well, downtown Denver, at the old Navari, right across from the Brown Palace, is where they do these satanic worships, the Council of 13, every summer and winter solstice. And Anthony LaVey did an interview talking about being castrated there. He had contacted me because he was being harassed by Doug Millar, one of the FBI number five stooges that was tied to Ted Gunderson. I had a posting on it on the internet where they had attacked me, and I attacked back, and there was a posting, and he called me. I'd been looking for him for a long time because I had a satanic chart up, and I had all this other that a girl in Las Vegas, a friend of mine, she was roommates with Lisa Hunt. And that's one of the Hunt boys down in Dallas, Texas, involved in the Kennedy murder, E. Howard Hunt's niece. She happened to have been a roommate of hers. And they both got to know Anthony LaVey in Las Vegas, and they couldn't believe what he was telling them about being castrated there. He thought it was the Kimball Castle. It was the old Navari, the old whorehouse casino across from the Brown Palace, right on the corner where it says Ship's Tavern at the Brown Palace there in Denver, right across the street. And he was only about 12 years of age, 13. And they couldn't believe what he was saying. So he actually took his pants down to prove to him he had no private parts.
Wow.
Secret Service agent threw him in the back of a car and dumped his ass in front of an emergency room and made a phone call
also,
and said, there's a guy outside.
Didn't he also recollect seeing some of the Bush family at some of the satanic services?
Yes. That interview, by the way, is up on my website. It's actually, I have the interview on the site. It's under, if you go to Bush Satanic Worships on this new page called Future Sitemap and look for Bush Satanic Worships. It's right inside that, Bush Satanic Rituals and Human Sacrifices. And scroll down and you will find the Anton LaVey interview. It's right there in the left column. And he's got it. I put his calendar up there and so forth. You can click on that and listen to the 45 of an hour interview. The other 15 minutes before we got off the show, that interview was killed. We only were able to save 45 minutes of it.
Well, very interesting. And my other question real quick, I gotta go take the turkey out of the oven. wasn't there some Colorado connection to, I think there was one of the Bushes and possibly John McCain in the Keating Five banking scandal?
Yeah, I there was back in 1990 when I found out that they were doing all this illegal political campaign money laundering. It was the state's biggest case. And I got Time Magazine, Jonathan Beatty, to come in. And there's two stories that I put in my right column because I fixed the links recently. And one of them's called Running with a Bad Crowd, and how the other one's called How Silverado Operated. And there's also a copy of a Time Magazine check they sent me, and Jonathan Beatty, Warren Beatty's brother, who's a head reporter for Time, had done these stories for me, and he cut me a check, too, because I went further in my investigations, and they agreed that's when we used to pay 30 cents a minute for phone calls, and I spent about $1,500 that month in additional digging on congressmen and senators that were bribed. But we did stories about the Denver airport, and we did stories about Silverado, and we did stories about their illegal political campaign money laundering, and it became the state's biggest case. So they had to point Bob Gallagher, Arapahoe district attorney, to the case. And I worked with Susan Kitchen of the Colorado Bureau Investigation, who was assigned, and Mike, somebody, I forgot his name, that killed him after the investigation, gave him a heart attack to shut him up. And their report really laid out a lot of stuff. And, it, you know, their report went to the Colorado Attorney General, Gail Norton, who rewrote the report. Who rewrote the report, because I had the original report. I've never even put it up on the Internet yet. But they were nailed for illegal money laundering, where Larry Mizell was standing up there saying, get a check up here today from 15 contractors. So they had, you know, people pouring the basement, people that were their framers, people that were their drywallers, painters. They'd tell them to bring up an invoice for $10,000, bring a check made out to Larry, or made out to Mayor Fred Raquel Pena, or to the governor, whoever it may have been, Love, or whichever one it was at the time, at Romer, different ones, and or to George Bush Sr. for his campaign, et cetera, Republican campaign, whichever, and then bring us an invoice saying you finished off a basement or you did this or that to additional house, and we'll reimburse you. So that's how they were doing it. It was campaign money laundering is what it was. It was Colorado's largest state. So I actually got hearings on that, and they spun it, and they called it the Keating Five instead, because it all tied in and encompassed Charles Keating as well. John McCain, and everyone was involved. Millman's, you know, if you noticed, when Keating collapsed and Lincoln Savings, all the assets ended up in MDC's holdings. Continental Homes all of a sudden moved and dropped its name, and Phoenix sold all of its assets to MDC, Richmond American Homes, in Arizona, and all of a sudden Continental Homes opens up in Colorado, taking over properties there. And I think if you go into the junk bond daisy chain story that's up on that link that I've just future site map, you can also see that the intertwining junk bond daisy chain, how they were passing property around and selling among each other, et cetera. But yes, John McCain, and you can go into the future site map and look under John McCain's wife, war profits. Where did he get real corporability? And where did he get those other assets from? Larry Mizell handed him corporations for his well-deserved jobs as the United States Senator who committed treason and sedition against America by passing bills that would benefit the mob.
Well, fascinating. And since you mentioned the Denver airport, one more quick question. Is it true what I've heard that they built some buildings there, and they outfitted them with computer banks and everything, and then they discovered they were in the wrong place, and then instead of taking all the stuff out of the buildings and tearing them down, they just buried them? Is that a true story?
No, that is not true. So that's a spin doctor story that you've heard. If
okay.
you go to my future site map, and better yet, just go to www.youtube.com and go to StuWeb1, and scroll down all the way to the bottom, you will see a picture of the Denver Underground. I played that on TV 59 in Denver one night. I called only one station. That was TV 59. It was a Spanish-speaking, English-speaking TV station. And the only reason is because Dave Minshall, who was with TV 7, had been fired. A couple other reporters had been fired during the construction of the airport, which I was the one that exposed that, caused those congressional investigations, the four of them back to back, back in 1990, 89 through 91. And Gene Young, he lost his license to practice law in Colorado, had to move out of the state. Former admiral, by the way, testified. Instead of me testifying, he went and testified. I worked with him from day one on the illegal land tracks that were at the airport, et cetera. So I knew about it all. Dave Minshall got fired because Dave Minshall's helicopter flew over the Denver airport, where they planted a runway out there 2.5 miles to the east, slightly northeast of where the tent terminal is. And he's sitting there looking at a 5,000-foot runway out there, saying, this runway is not part of the Denver airport. What's this runway doing clear over here? They put a runway in the wrong place. So he came on TV and talked about it, showed the video and everything. The next day he goes out there with the helicopter again, and the runway's gone. It's covered up with dirt. Well, they built a secret underground out there that I found a construction contractor that was involved with it, and they brought in Mexican workers to ensure that nobody in Colorado knew about it, and they put them in in hotels around northern part of Denver, up in Thornton and Brighton and so forth, and they supplied them with prostitutes, anything they wanted to keep them in their hotel room where they would not leave, wouldn't be running around speaking Spanish because most of them couldn't speak English, and the contractors had to speak bilingual. They had to be that in order to run the operation, but they built a secret underground. And it's a FEMA concentration camp transfer station for future arrest. And as they transfer prisoners to various FEMA camps, those are prison cells underneath there. Now, they built two separate sets of buildings underneath there. One was the prison camp, and the other were some sort of future office underground to the south of there, which is about two and a half miles. That videotape is up on YouTube/StuWeb, Roman numeral one, StuWeb one. It's up there towards the bottom, and it will be on the link in this future site map. But I have that and released that. It was kind of ironic after that appeared on TV 59 there in Denver. The next day, a reporter from the Rocky Mountain News went over to so-called do an interview with the guy who interviewed him from the TV station, and they stole the videotape. I had to go back and replace a copy of the video back to the TV station. That's how bad
they stole the videotape?
Yeah, they stole the videotape. I'm trying to remember the stooge at the Rocky Mountain News. He was continually covered up. And Steve Paulson with Associated Press had done stories for me also out there. Good guy. He works down at the Capitol now. But Steve had done several stories about the Denver airport, the bond fraud. And that was where they were giving them AAA ratings, saying the Denver airport's going to open up tomorrow, this week, and then tomorrow, et cetera. And right up to the last minute, here's Paulson saying there's no way that they can open it up, because I had a guy take Paulson out in an airplane, fly him over the Denver airport because the runways were falling apart, and they had huge holes in the runways, and they were digging up the concrete that was all cracked because they didn't bring it to specs, proper specs. And they, Millman and Mizell and everybody, had control of that whole building of the place. And it was built on bentonite. It was built on an old Indian burial ground. And when they dug the place up, they found petrified palm trees out there, in case anybody did not know that. But these runways were all broken up and torn up. So here they got big holes all up and down the runways that they're replacing the contract. But yet for bond sales, to get AAA bond ratings, they said that the Denver airport was going to open up that week. And it would clear up to the day that we took pictures from this airplane, or Paulson did. I didn't go on the airplane ride. I didn't want to. They went out there, took pictures, and reported in Associated Press. That same cover-up meister at the Rocky Mountain News said the Denver airport's going to open up tomorrow, and that Paulson was lying in his stories. And here's pictures in the Associated Press articles. So that shows the control that they've had. Now they control, through Dean Singleton, the Rocky Mountain News and the Denver Post, called Media One. And Dean Singleton had a reporter named Pete Bruton that some of my stuff's in his book. It's on my website, left column. It's called The Mafia, CIA, and Bush. And Pete Bruton was turned on to me by one of the gals in the housing committee hearings, where I caused the HUD scandal and the independent prosecutor. These were the four congressionals: the Denver airport, the Keating Five that called AMDC 200, the HUD scandal, and HUD, Silverado, Denver airport, and Keating Five. So they were all intertwined. But Pete Bruton, that wrote the book and released in 1992. I'm in a jail cell in Denver being held as a political prisoner for supposedly making death threats to my ex-in-laws. It never occurred, and then the charges were dismissed with prejudice 10 and a half months later. Bruton came out with his book, and if you go into his book, The Mafia, CIA, and Bush, you can find it at the local library. Chapter, the one that says Silverado and the one that says the Chicago chapters. Those are a lot of the connections I gave them in that book. Pete Bruton was a reporter who came to the gals at HUD and said, look, what's this about a HUD scandal? You know, what's going on here? So they were able to give a certain amount of information to the press. And all of a sudden, Pete's going, These are some of the names I've got tied to these big SNL frauds down here in Texas. So he wanted to know who the source was. Well, they were like, well, you know, the guy didn't want to be known. That was me. But we'll pass and see if he wants to talk to you. I ended up talking to him. And later, his main gal that's in the book, Margie Sloan, who her attorney happened to be Archibald Cox's daughter, Phil Cox, who's an attorney in Denver, had suits against Silverado. And it's kind of funny, when I was hiding from the FBI, I used to call her, and her secretary would hook me up three-way with the radio stations. Okay, well, I did a bunch of radio shows hiding from the FBI back in 1990. But anyway, Margie Sloan's mentioned in that book. Al Martin also contributed that book, and his name does not appear, neither does mine. But in that book, it has some very significant stuff in it. Dean Singleton, who owns the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News Media One, has bought up a lot of the TV stations around Denver, et cetera, to cover things up. Dean Singleton is mentioned in the book, in the Mafia CIA Ambush, as a personal friend to Larry Mizell's, and his statements were to Pete Bruton. He says, "You're getting me in trouble with my friend Larry Mizell over you doing these stories in the Houston Post newspaper."
Well, I got a turkey. I'm getting out of the oven. One more quick question. Is there anything to the murals in the Denver airport?
Yeah, there's a lot to them. You ever seen Baphomet, the devil out there popping out of the briefcase?
Mona Lisa?
Baphomet, the devil popping out of the briefcase. The New World Order Airport, I think they call it, or something like that. And all the murals of people dying and laying in coffins.
Hey guys, I gotta say goodbye because I'm gonna listen, but I'm gonna get off here and get my turkey out of the oven. It's getting late, and I want to say, Lisa and Austin, you guys have the best guests. And sir, thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate your answering the questions.
Hey,
and,
thanks for asking.
Yeah,
give me an opportunity
more,
to okay. vent.
One more question,
hey,
since you seem
Michael,
to be kind of up
Michael.
On this. Yes.
Plug your show after your question.
Oh, well, it was kind of a segue. But I was going to ask the gentleman if he knew, had ever read S.K. Bain's book, The Most Dangerous Book in the World, or heard of it.
No, I never heard of it. No.
Okay. Well, it's basically the most dangerous book in the world, 9/11 as Satanic Ritual. And Debbie and I just recorded an interview with this gentleman. And if you want me to plug the show, we're Securing Liberty, Debbie Lewis and I, Thursday evenings, 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Central. Our John Holmton or something is coming up and about smart meters and Agenda 21. Then the following Thursday, we have anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan. And last Thursday of the month is Gigi Bowman from Liberty Candidates. So, anyway, yeah, we do okay, too. Of course, we're not up to your standards. And you guys got an excellent
guest
today.
You guys do an awesome job. You know I love you and Debbie.
Yeah, we love you guys, too. You guys take care, and thank you very much, Stu. Appreciate your time, and I'll check that stuff out on your website. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for dropping
by.
Okay, have a good one, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, I was going to ask you, Lisa, have you ever been to the Denver airport and seen all those murals?
Yeah, of course, many times.
What? You ever seen
many
the one that popping out of the briefcase, Lisa?
Oh, yeah, the gargoyle.
Yeah, that's actually Baphomet, supposedly the gold-headed demon popping out of there. That's the devil.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that place is crazy. I mean, you drive in, they've got this blue-looking demon horse from hell, and it's got red glinting eyes, and it's just like, why the hell would they light up the eyes in the first place? You just picture, like, lasers coming out of it, or... You know, what are they doing? Are they scanning people? I don't know what the hell that whole thing's all about, but there's something up there. And that horse, it's got veins popping up all over it, and it actually fell over on the artist and killed him.
So
interesting.
So that, huh?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that's the same story. The artist of that of the horse there in front of, or the stallion in front of there, that the thing actually fell and killed the artist.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Oh Lord, hear my prayers. All the people that are these Satanists. Why can't we get them off my planet?
Right. So and then the murals are crazy. I mean, they've got all kinds of, like, you know, death and people of all races dying, and then in the end, it's just like they all come together and they beat their swords into plowshares, and there's peace again. It's
out of
crazy.
Chaos,
I mean,
comes control, the New World Order
right,
airport.
That's what it shows. Yeah,
with
it shows
a FEMA
like
transportation camp underneath, transfer station underneath it.
Oh, and by the way, I think I mentioned this last time, but one of my best friends, her husband worked with the guy who actually helped build those, and he is real hush about it. He doesn't hardly talk to anyone, but he has confided with basically her husband that indeed those camps exist, and he helped build them.
Yes, they happened because one of the contractors came on TV, hit his face, took a tape measure, drew a map, sat there with the reporter from TV5 who videoed it with two cameramen who swore to secrecy. They would never reveal who it was. I was there and two other people were there. And the next day the media was claiming that they refused to come to it. They were never invited. Okay. And that's when the guy with the Rocky Mountain News shows up to steal the tape after I had already. I wouldn't let him leave the room until we took the tape. And we took the tape and we made two additional tapes on somebody's recorders, VHS, right then and there. And then once we played them and saw that they were okay, they took their tape and they went over that evening and they aired it on TV 59. It sent them ballistics. And then I got a visit from the Secret Service, wanted to talk to me. So I talked to them. Oh, that's the Western White House. You can't be revealing that. I said, no, you're a bunch of liars. Don't try to give me your crap. The Western White House is built under the Argyle Tunnel. I already know about that. So get out of here.
Yeah.
Hey, have you ever seen the special Jesse Ventura did on that?
Jesse Ventura did that on it. It's kind of ironic, but this comes back to Spin Doctor. Alice Jones. He was quite aware that I had that videotape and that I released that videotape and so forth. And it's just like if you look in the right column of my website, you'll see about Alice Jones, idiot. Veterans Day just did a story on idiot or half idiot. If you go in and look at his previous tape in July of 2001, he's saying, oh, well, you know, America's going to get attacked, you know, on a false flag. I was the only guy out there screaming about it, that we were going to be attacked for three consecutive months. And if you watch Alex Jones and watch my website, you'll see that he takes stuff off of my website and he will put it up within 24 hours, spin it a little bit, and put it out as a quote-unquote story because he knows that things are coming out.
Right.
Watch what he does.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. Alex Jones was a big part of my awakening.
Look, Alex Jones has a huge network, but he works for Division Number 5, FBI. He answers to Norvell. He's on prevailingwinds.com, or used to be. Alex Jones, I've had several people in the FBI and the CIA say he's been on their payroll for years. He's another Bill O'Reilly wannabe. He's another Pierce Morgan wannabe. You know, Pierce is tied to the Mossad, okay? Pardon me?
He's COINTELPRO. I understand
he's
that.
He's
COINTELPRO
is what he is. He's there to spin doctor and always keep the fear factor. It's never the solutions. You know, it's always the fear factor.
Exactly.
And that's what
and
it's all about.
Like,
it's create fear, false solutions that appear real. Fear, fear, fear. The boogeyman's going to come get you. Go and hide in your house, the boogeyman. No. Everybody needs to go arrest the frigged boogeyman.
Yeah. Yep. That is correct.
We, We need a, you to call our show. We did a show on Alex Jones. Is he COINTELLER the real deal? Let me ask you something else, Stu, while I have you on. What's your opinion on Ron Paul?
Ron Paul, I dealt with way back in the 1990s, late 90s. Ron Paul had a helicopter hovering over him after an hour-long conversation with him. I had one hovering over me. Ron Paul would only go so far. He knew what his limits were to keep from getting killed. He knew how bad it was. His son, I respect highly for what he has done. You have to remember, one person can't do anything. I was actually offered, more or less, a job for working as an aide with Rand Paul without speaking no more because of the information that I hold to educate the senator. I said, no, I would be assassinated inside the Beltway within 2 weeks. Come to my
okay.
door. Yippee-ki-yay, Mama Elvis.
So let me ask you this. I always state, and I'm not saying that he's a bad man or anything, but I'm stating that he is really controlled opposition. Would you agree with me?
No, not at all. I don't agree with that. He look, people inside government, I've come to realize over the years, they know their limits. They know what they can put out and what they can't put out. If I put out things today out here on your airway, you would be assassinated tomorrow, Lisa would, and they would probably try to do me again, okay? And that's very serious. Some of the things that I know, I don't do that. I've learned to put out as much truth, never a lie, never a spin doctor, no bullshit. Put out the truth as much as the American people can handle it. If you touch on national security issues that go too damn deep, you get killed, period. There are some things I won't even touch. And
fair
I won't touch
too.
Subjects that will get people killed that are friends of mine that have over the years given information, such as there
right.
are people running around all the Cotola affidavit. You know, I put out the Cotola affidavit. One talk show said recently, I laughed. I said, yeah, I'm the one that released it, the short version. Oh, no, I got this from Sturgis. Oh, okay. Fine, you don't remember me giving you a copy at the time. He didn't remember.
Right.
Now, I said, well, how many pages was it? It was only about 10 pages, really. How come I got a 100-page true, full-blown affidavit? How come I've never released it? It has friends of my names in there that I cannot put that out. If I do, they get killed.
Gotcha. All right, hey, Stu, we're getting near the end of another 3 hours. I want to thank you. You're an awesome guest. I love having you on.
I hope we've given some people some education. But, you know, I'm getting tired of educating. I've done 3,000 radio shows since 1991. I'm getting tired of it. I want to see change. I want to see change. I don't see any
yes.
change happening. All I see is everybody getting awake and talking about how awake they are. Well, you know,
right.
I'm ready to lock and load. Remember, folks, don't forget the bazooka oil. After you shoot 1,000 rounds, you shoot some bazooka oil down through there, and, you know.
All right. We got to wrap it up, Stu.
Okay.
Hey, Liberty Lisa.
It's always my pleasure to be on with two patriotic Americans. Keep up the good
work. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Stu. And you can find Stu's links on my page, Lisa Brumfield, on Facebook. Next show is...